need. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci. Good
morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Brian.
Hello.
Well, what do we got cooking today? Ray and Ozzy are coming in here with a Shrek review.
I'll be curious about that.
Frank Vincent on the phone. You know him as Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos. Starting to heat up. Tears rolling down my wife's eyes watching The Sopranos.
I thought about that. Two episodes left.
Yeah. You know, when I watch these shows with my wife and I see her getting very emotional. A little spoiler alert if you didn't see The Sopranos last night. But
do make that spoiler alert big enough.
Turn that, I don't know. I just don't care.
I don't care.
You didn't watch it last night,
I don't care. But I'm wondering if right now it's a big deal that we say, here we come, we're going to wreck it for you.
Well, let's put it this way. A substantial portion of our audience didn't watch it and isn't going to watch it. And then a substantial portion did watch it. And then there's a small portion that is going to watch it but didn't yet. I don't care about you guys.
Okay, let's just go to their house and beat them up.
AJ was going to commit suicide last night.
Did you think he was going to, it was going to be over?
I didn't know, but my wife was crying and tears were rolling down her eyes. And I thought, this is an interesting thing, which is, hope she's not listening, but my wife gets very involved with the fantasy part of life, like The Sopranos. I mean, she will weep if somebody dies on TV. And then I realize it's not so much that she buys into The Sopranos is that she doesn't buy into reality.
Right.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing. I never really thought about it. Like, there's the people where you go, look, it's just a movie, or it's just a book, or it's just a TV show. You know, please, don't get so emotional. Why are you buying into it so much? And then as I saw my wife crying watching The Sopranos, I realized it's not really that the Sopranos, it's not that she's so much into fantasy, it's that she's only marginally into reality, which right. then leaves her open to fantasy.
You're describing a good portion of my life.
Like, I do a lot of that. Look, baby, who do you think pays for fill in the blank? You can't just fill in the blank. You know, it's not like you can just keep that faucet running and somebody, I'm going to have to, we can't go around just, I do a lot of that, like, you know, sort of, I don't know, it's like, and it's an interesting thing, maybe the difference between men and women. Every, most, not most, a lot of the guys I know have this problem with their wife where the guy walks around flipping the lights off after the women. You know, they, my wife will leave the lights on in her closet all day long in the middle of the day. Right. And I'll just, and there's a window in the closet and she's not, and I'll come in and see the light coming through the door of the closet and I'll reach in and shut the thing off. I find myself doing a lot of like explaining of life. Like, you can't just leave this running.
Trees.
Those need to be watered. You can't just leave this. So maybe it's not so much the buying into the fantasy as it is to one step removed from reality, which makes you already closer to fantasy in the first place.
Well, you're like I said, you're describing a huge portion of my life where I would get mail by the hundreds if I was only raised by you people, meaning the Partridge Family. Mm-hmm. My dad beats me. My dad's a drunk. My mom left us. If I had a home like you guys, so they, what they've done, they haven't necessarily believed we exist, even though that's what they're saying.
Right.
What they're saying is that they do not exist.
Mm-hmm.
That their home life sucks so much. They'd kill to be a Brady or a Partridge or a Beaver or a Father's Knows Best, whatever it is.
Right.
They don't buy that it's real. They just buy that their reality sucks.
I'd go for Huxtable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Huxtable real quick. Where, help me.
The Bill Cosby show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me a doctor every time.
And a sweater.
Yeah. And Felicia Rashad. Tough love, mom.
A little preachy, but yeah. right. So they're the people that watch soap operas and write letters to the evil twin who's actually being played by the same actress.
Right.
To leave your nice twin alone. But I wonder if there's a correlation between buying into things and not buying into reality. For instance, kids. Because that's what it is. When I get into this stuff, when I hear my husbands, when I hear my friends, the husbands, bitching about their wives, And it's usually just that same sort of, she's driving around, she's got 5 pounds of pressure in one tire and 35 in the next. I get in the car, I turn it on, it's bone dry, it's on empty. It's not. We pull over, so I want to buy, and I ask, she doesn't have a dollar on her, and I tell her, go to the ATM and take out three, but she doesn't have a penny on her. And then the car, you know, because she runs out of gas, and now she doesn't have any way of blah, blah, blah. Like, this sort of, and listen, guys have their own ways of doing this emotionally, probably like not talking to their kids for weeks at a time and stuff like that. But there's a lot of people who become, they're almost like kids. So these guys are talking to their wives like they're kids. You have to have $10 on you all the time.
Sure.
You
yeah. cannot be 911.
I can't tell you how many fights I've gotten to with my wife where the parking valet guy's been like, that's $5. And I've been like, I don't have five. Honey, give me five. You don't have a penny on you. Not one. You have $1.10. I like, how many times do we have to talk about you always having $20? My $20, by the way, on you. The $20 I earned, that is. So this weird sort of fantasy versus reality, but this is what kids do. When you take kids to watch a scary movie, they get caught up and they start crying. I'm trying to think, but I'll bet you that CEOs and heads of state and guys like that, men or women, don't buy, you know, the people that have reality crushing them on a daily basis don't go to a movie and get swept away.
That's interesting.
I wonder if it's that same component. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to
think. I feel like my wife bawling her eyes out when she's watching The Sopranos is part of the same gene that has a car on bone dry when I get in to jump in and turns just on beyond empty or doesn't have a penny on her. A sort of, I'm living in a sort of world somewhere between reality and fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, kids can suspend disbelief. They can believe in the tooth fairy.
Right, and you
movies.
Say, right, and you
but
say
so
to
can I.
You say to a kid though, you go to a kid like, they're like, well, it's Sunday night, it's at 10 o'clock, and they haven't done their homework yet. And you go, how do you think this is going to get done between now and tomorrow at 8 a.m.? And they're like, I don't know. And you're like, did you think those pants were just going to walk themselves into the hamp? You know, it's just sort of not quite, I know, but I don't know. I know, but I don't care kind of thing.
You know, to be honest, I think that is a fair representation of what cost me my marriage.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, life had gone whatever way Gretchen said and made sense to everyone. For years, who was I to get involved? And one day after months and months sober, and this recently came to me, that walking a straight line for 6 months was as bizarre to me as not being able to. My system didn't understand why I could. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're drunk, you couldn't understand why I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I could never put it together. Why can I walk a straight line? What's wrong with me? And as that started to fade, I would say things like, honey, why is a 12-year-old starting her homework at 10? Is this way you really run this house? And instead of saying yes, no, maybe, what do you think? It was like, who the hell do you think you are to get involved now?
Now you wake up and you question
now you
my
wake
methods.
Up. Exactly. It was exactly like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we, speaking of kids doing the homework at 10 o'clock, our Music Monday category is life lessons songs.
I hope you like this.
Life lessons for the kiddies. Yeah, I really did give it some thought, and I'm all over the road, but I got some good ones. This is, I guess, the music you would play your child that you would want them to learn from or live by. So that's Music Monday. Also, Gallagher. Gallagher, highest grossing comic of the 80s.
You're kidding.
No comic made more money than Gallagher in the decade of the 80s. And let's see. Oh, religious nut job, Shirley Phelps.
Good, that gives me something to do on today's show.
She's picketing Jerry Falwell's funeral.
She equally hates everyone.
It's a weird thing with Shirley Phelps. She's the one that started off by picketing the funerals of our fallen soldiers.
Fallen heroes.
And so you figure, well, maybe she hates soldiers, but then every time a religious holiday or something comes around, she's in a bad mood. She hates religious.
Yeah.
She hates whatever denomination you are, whatever religion you are, whatever you say you are. Look, she hates atheists as much as she hates the Pope, and that's what I love about Shirley Phelps. Anne Hearn, her kids sing songs. More shanties. Vitriolic, religious, venom-filled shanties. So Ozzie and Ray in the Sheck Review. Shrek Review.
Oh,
and
favorite movies of all time.
I have never seen any of them.
Me either.
And I suppose I'll be revisiting all these things as my kids get older.
Yeah, probably, because it's a classic.
I saw Cinderella. The weird computer animation, or what I felt was sort of computery animation, and it bumped me. I like the Disney and the Pixar stuff generally. I like the animation. I'm fine with the Nemo. What was that? Capturing Nemo,
Finding Nemo. It was great.
Like
Albert
Finding
Brooks
Nemo,
and Ellen.
Right, Finding Nemo.
When I was your age, television was called books.
That animation and stuff was cool, and there's cool animation. The Shrek weird computer-driven stuff feels weird to me. I can't figure it out, but I'm bumped by it. Not so much by Shrek, but his girlfriend or his wife. It looks weird. It just, whenever they get those big pictures of the palace and everyone's walking around, I don't know why. It feels like there used to be a lot of artistry involved with the old Disney stuff, and this has removed that component from it. It feels like exactly what it is here's what happens when a computer takes over versus the hand of an artist.
I would say if you used the same quality paint, the Sistine Chapel would not look that entirely different if it were painted by computer. But you wouldn't have had Michelangelo go blind laying on his back for 7 years as lead-filled paint dripped into his eyes.
Is that yeah. And well, but isn't it sort of the difference between, isn't this what makes
us... shrink-wrapped the Sistine Chapel?
They did?
No, if they did. Oh. Because they now they put that stuff on your car now and then heat it up and your car becomes a banner for stuff.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They take a blow dryer to the Sistine Chapel. Hey, look, it's the devil. There you go. That's
isn't this what makes us human beings, though? The fact that you can take a look at a wood grain plastic steering wheel versus a real Italian vintage Ferrari wooden steering wheel and look at it and go, I don't like that one.
Yeah.
Even though it looks exactly the same or almost like, even from 20 feet away, you can tell the difference between the vintage handmade wooden vintage sports car steering wheel and the plastic one that came on the Mustang II 20 years later.
Now you're warm and dear to my heart.
But I mean, as human beings, why does that bother us? It visually looks almost exactly the same. You're not eating it. You know what I mean? If you're eating it.
Because you know.
Like, right.
That's like, why, because you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't eat a fake piece of pie, but it might look the same as a real piece of pie. But the steering wheel or the sofa that's vinyl instead of leather or you fill in the blank, the fake boobs versus the real boobs.
This is going to sound so vile. Let's just use Teresa as an example.
Okay.
I could make mad passionate love to you while telling you anything that occurred to me and deeply and mean every word of it and really not care at all. But
yeah,
I gave the pitch a long time ago here. But I could also say it and mean it.
Right.
Because the thing is, you're a beautiful woman. How do I know what I know? I mean, I might be desperately in love with you. Who knows? I married people on the first date, been married 20 years. The thing is, the thing that looks the same in the back of your head, you know, I don't care, it looks the same. That's not what I wanted.
Yeah, there's an entire...
I never wanted that.
Yeah, there's an entire book called Blink, and it's all about how, for example, an art expert can tell a forgery oftentimes instantly. They don't know how, but your brain just knows the difference.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up, because one last piece of advice before we head into break, which is, when you say blink, your first impulse is always your purest.
Yeah.
It's always your best. I mean... As I've said before, the problem with my family, well, the problem with my mom is she'll put up 5 little swatches of wallpaper. She'll stick them up on her bathroom wall, which is primered, and then she'll stare at them for 6 months. Eventually, they all just become one big swatch blotch. Once you stare at something, you know, like...
It becomes a design.
The problem with my dad is he'll never put anything up and not sure if he can find the bathroom. But my mom will put these, and I'll show up for dinner and go, have you decided on a wallpaper yet? And she'll go, am. I thought I had one about 3 weeks ago, but I changed my mind. And then 4 months later, I'll show up again and I'll go, when are you going to wallpaper this bathroom? And she'll say, well, my neighbor Norma is going to come over and take a look at it because I can't figure out. And then 6 months, and then eventually we'll get in a fight about it because I'll yell, just pick out some goddamn wallpaper. Here's the deal. Your mind will never be better, never be fresher, never be, there'll never be a cleaner sheet of paper on your mind than it, the first time you spot something. So if you want to pick out some wallpaper, have somebody else put up the four swatches, you turn around and look, and have your buddy yell 3, 2, 1, and you point at one.
Smart.
That's the one you like. If you just stare at all of them, eventually they'll just become one. It's like some word you repeat over and over and over, and it loses its meaning. All right. So I agree. The art expert probably can pick the fake out over the original. In the first tenth of a second, he or she looks at it rather than the weekend they spend staring at it, unless you're accumulating other data that we're not aware of. Okay. We need to take ourselves a break. Going to do a little home improvement. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Hope my wife's still asleep because not only was I calling her 12-year-old, she hates this home improvement segment.
This is amazing.
866-901-ADAM. We'll answer your home improvement questions next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Let's turn this mother out. Today, we'll check in with religious nutjob Shirley Phelps. Ozzy and Ray review the number one movie in America, Shrek the Third. And Gallagher the Comedian. Baseman, I told you to get more melons into the show, but this is ridiculous. Fantastic, you put that rim shot in there, right?
Yeah.
We gotta sell this bitch. Want to be a late thing?
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, the highest grossing comedian of the 80s. When Gallagher comes in here, I will explain the movie that Jimmy and I wrote entitled Kill Gallagher.
Huh.
And what it was about.
Might be awkward.
Yes, maybe.
Not.
But I think it'll be a little tip of the hat.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
I pitched a show to BH Fun called Kill Corey Feldman. You know, they enjoyed it.
So Gallagher will be in. Well, it's unclear when he's coming in because
I just saw him
walk in. So he's supposed to be in an 8 o'clock hour. Well, we'll see how that goes. But now, 866-901-ADAM, your home improvement questions. And let's talk to...
From the Pantheon of Morning Radio,
about
a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Ooh. Yeah, let's talk to Joel. Joel?
Yeah, I'm here.
Santa Fe Springs?
Yep, good morning.
What's going on, Joel?
Hi, how you doing, Teresa?
Good.
Danny? Well, I live in a art gallery space, a two-story art loft. The downstairs is the art gallery, and...
Well, la-dee-da, son. I live in the real world.
Do you have your fancy
That's
pants
where
on?
We live.
Are any of your straight friends going to call us?
My girlfriend might, actually, but...
Yeah.
So, I'm a metal sculptor, too, so
Ooh.
It's not too la-dee-da.
Okay.
Now, this is interesting.
All right. So, you got... Yeah?
Well, downstairs, we're looking to put up a partition wall. I'm going to put up an 8x8-foot drywall just to block off kind of our kitchen space in the downstairs.
Problem is,
I really can't anchor it to the floor.
Why not?
Well, because of the leasing company, it doesn't want me to sit there with a roto hammer drill into the floor.
Rental.
Even with concrete patch, you know? Yeah, I'm renting.
Just have a slab on the floor.
Right. It's just a concrete slab, yeah.
All right, let me say this. If you have a house and that house has a ceiling and a floor and it's a wide open space and you just want to make a room in the middle of it, well, then that's just a non-bearing division wall. this office and every office everyone works in just starts off with a slab on the floor and a slab on the ceiling. And then people come around and they lay their office out. They take a chalk box. Chalk box is a box filled with string and chalk. And when you pull it out and snap the line, it leaves that long blue line.
I've seen it. Can't make it work.
But... And then, well, it takes two of you. That's the problem. One guy's got to hold that in and the other guy's got to snap that in. But the point is then they come in, they put up the division walls. Now, here's what you can do. Are you ready, Joel, from Santa Fe, who claims to be straight, even though he lives in an artist loft with a fella named Bob?
And sculpts metal.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And Basquiat.
What I would do is I would make all this out of metal stud. Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can.
It is straight. You just put it together with these little tech screws. You screw your drywall onto it. It's got holes in it in case you want to run some electrical. And I would put the bottom plate down, the channel down, with silicone adhesive. It'll hold it where you want it. You don't have to put anything into the slab. And when it comes time to pack up, because your landlord finds out about your alternative lifestyle.
Like it's Mr. Furley?
Yeah.
He's going to get upset?
Yeah, you can just peel it up off the slab. Now, I would clean the slab well and wipe down the bottom of the wall thing so there's no dirt or dust on it. And then just clear, 100% clear silicone, nice big ropey bead right down the center of that. Yeah, here's the thing about Three's Company.
This is great.
I know I'm not the first guy to bring this up, but... Furley was too uptight to think about a single guy living with two single chicks, but he was all right with the fagula living downstairs.
Right, absolutely.
That's a good point.
Didn't that seem like flawed logic in 1979?
It's true. I just poked a hole right in.
Well, I mean...
Somebody had to.
Your average American landlord understands very well, here we are, it's 1980, they're couples or people living together, cohabitating, that aren't married. Almost everybody, I would say... Half the people in an apartment building are not married couples. That's what you do. You and your girlfriend move out, whether you're going to college or whatever, whether it's just your first place. You live there for a couple of years. Then you break up and you get married and buy a house at some point later on.
And then she leaves you and takes half that house and you marry the new girl. And
so I'm cathartic, Danny. Point is,
I was condo shopping all yesterday.
Furley could not handle that, but yet he was totally fine with the gay guy living underneath him.
One kind of living in sin. He was all right with.
Right.
There is no end to the information that you have provided us today.
All right. Let's talk to Greg. Greg?
Yes.
From Phoenix. Home improvement question, please.
Drywall joints, paper or mesh?
Mm-hmm. This is a question I often ask myself.
Me too.
You have to tape your seams and drywall. Drywall comes in 4x8 sheets for the most part. They butt together, and along that seam is where you put the drywall tape. The old school guys just put paper. It's literally a strip of paper over that. The problem with that is you have to put the joint compound down first, stick the paper to it, and then go over it again, versus the nylon tape, which... is self-adhesive. So I would I'd use the nylon tape for you, Greg.
I tried both, and 6 months later, I got cracks with both.
All right.
You're having a ball out here.
Well, then use the one I told you to use.
Got it. Thank you.
Easier. It's faster. It's better. All right?
Thank you very much.
All right. Good times. Let's see.
So we've accomplished our mission.
Wait, can I say briefly, while you're deciding what call to take, that I got a tour of the Corolla residence, Danny.
I know you mentioned
that. Oh, boy.
That place is a masterpiece. Every detail has been gone to the fixtures and knobs. But the coolest thing, there's an underground bar. And there's portals.
That's cool.
There's portals, Danny, where you can look into the swimming pool from the bar.
From under the water? Under the water line?
The bar is underground.
That's really nice.
Yes.
I have, in my house, there's a bar that came from a movie, a 1920s movie, and it's built in. It's from a ship, and the windows are portholes, but they just go to outside. They don't do that. That's bitchin'.
Yeah, I drilled portholes into the side of my pool, and then everyone says to me, how's this going to work? I mean, how do you know the portholes aren't going to break? I mean, your bar is not going to flood with... 700,000 gallons of water. And I say, I don't know. And they say, well, who designed it and how does it work? And I say, well, I kind of designed it, so I'm kind of hoping it'll work. But we are an earthquake country.
Yeah.
I drilled holes in the side of my swimming pool, and I put some glass there, and I built a bar that's underneath that pool.
It's a real bar. I mean, cool. It could hold 40 or 50 people.
But when you look through... When you look through the windows, you will see my pool.
Now, let's not use your children. Let's use the neighbor kids.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be just bad? So you're sitting back there having a highball.
You know where this is going.
And I see the kids jump off the ledge and they're splashing out. Yeah. When you film a movie and you're doing underwater scenes in a pool, what happens, the pool is built into the ground and there are stairs that go down in giant windows. So you can see people diving under and all that stuff, which is essentially a less classy version of what Corolla has. Now imagine you're down there with your highballs and your company and you're pointing out to your friends what you've done and... Well, Johnny jumps in, cracks the back of his head on the diving board, and water starts to turn a little red, and you've got your highball, and I wonder how many minutes does it take me to actually get from here to little Johnny before he dies while we're watching at the portal.
I would wait till I saw little Johnny, lifeless corpse, making its way to the deep end and Davy Jones' locker before I dove in. Because, A, it makes me a hero. B, I get to finish my highball.
Finish the highball's important.
C, I've seen enough movies of people falling into frozen lakes. The brain damage thing doesn't. Hell, their kids under there for 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
They
come out dancing a jig.
Okay, time has passed.
All right,
I think Corolla and I should mate and just make a really bad, bad, bad seed.
We'll speak to Dave. I'm trying to think how that worked. David?
Yeah, this is Dave.
Irvine, you have a home improvement question?
Yes, sir. Hey, I want to say I love you guys' show. I'm 6 o'clock on the road on the way to work. Every morning when I hear that music, it just starts my day off.
Nice to talk to you.
What do you do, David?
I'm a fabricator. I used to work for Boeing. Now I'm working at a job shop out here in Santa Fe Springs. I'm a Healy Arc welder. And what I got is I got a 400 amp welder in my garage. Mm-hmm. And I got to put a 140 amp breaker in the box. Now, I'm electrical. I'm a little spooky with electrical. What wire do I need to run from that 140 amp breaker? And how do I safely install
First of all, let me just say this, that under reasons for termination of demerit, she put that I was a fabricator. And I don't think she meant this.
Really? Yeah. Your wife?
That and I came to my senses are two big fun ones that she thinks are hysterical.
Should she really call you a fabricator?
Yeah, she said he's a fabricator.
Wow. Fabricator. Fabricator, well, if you watch all those chop and rebuild shows on the Discovery Channel, you make yourself a gas tank for a Harley that never existed. You're a fabricator.
When you're Danny Bonaducci and your wife said that man is a fabricator, you mean lying bastard cheating dog is what you
those
pretty much mean.
Those guys are hacks. Those guys on American Chopper, those guys are all hacks.
I like that.
All right. I like
my
that.
Stuff, I've got stuff on ships. I've got stuff on planes. I used to weld the fuel line for the MD-11s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either get us an Adam Carolla chopper up here or stop your yapping.
This is absolutely spectacular.
Hey, David.
I love Bill Houser, too.
David, I am not I'm a carpenter. I'm not an electrician. I know something about it, but it is a dangerous game. A lot of guys die monkeying with electricity every year, and I would hate to make your hair stand up on end and have a puff of smoke come out of your ass, and that's where your wife finds you. So you should
I'm
get...
I'm not married.
Well, that's
that was
that's,
the point.
That's where your life partner finds you.
My partner is 21-foot Eliminator with a blown engine, and my other partner is a 27-foot fishing boat.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
On the street.
Let me tell you.
On the street with all the wives.
You're 21, and by the way, I know he's not gay because there's no such thing as a fabricator who is.
No, you never know.
No.
No.
No, and there's nobody who has a 21-foot drag boat with a blown big block in it.
Drag right there in the title.
That has got to be the straight, you know, you talk about straight hobbies, straight professions, and maybe needlepoint, not the straightest. Guys who drive drag boats are straighter than astronauts.
Right.
I mean, it is the world's straightest because you have to be insane. You understand drag boat racing is the only sport where they put a parachute on you, but you don't fly? When you race drag boats, they don't go, oh, here's a parachute for the drag boat. They go, here's one for you.
And you go, tossed into the air.
Well, I'm not going to be flying. Well, you may. We don't know. That 21-foot Eliminator pickle fork hits a little pocket air, and you're at 210 miles an hour. Yes, you may be in the air.
Macho.
Yeah, I wear an inflatable that's attached to the dash, and if I come out of the boat, it inflates. I'm not in the best of shape, so.
What's the name of your boat, though? Because they always have great names.
It's a 21-foot, so there's not really much room for the name on there. It's a 1978. It's a Sprint, all original. I just put a brand-new blown 454 with an 871 BDS starter.
Yeah. Hey, David, do you walk around Lake Castaic with a T-shirt that says injection is fine, but I'd rather be blown? That's a classy shirt. Oh, that's good.
Never seen it.
All right. Hey, David.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the liquid quarter mile.
Yeah.
I love you guys' show every morning.
All right.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
I was out yesterday at the Pomona Drag Races or Off-Road Championships.
Oh, yes.
And I've got to tell you, 22,000 people, and I think a huge portion of this is your knowledge of the automobile, really had something specific to say about the show, each and every one. Not just love your show, but love Freezing, love Brian, love the sound effects, Adam and with the cars and the home improvement. 22,000 people that of whom I spoke to anyway, had something really specific to say about us. Says something.
I grew up watching or listening to, I used to listen to the rock stations out here in Los Angeles, and every third commercial on a rock station was some drag related.
Sunday.
Hey, it's Fox Night at OCIR, Orange County International Raceway. Fox is free. English Letter Girls will be there. Papa Do Run Run will be playing, and then it'd be like, then they get into the actual who's racing, and it would be Big Daddy Don Garlitz going against Shirley Cha Cha Muldani, the Chi Town Hustler, TV Tommy Idol, the Texan, Billy McEwen, some go, some blow. See what else they want to do. Let's see. Qualifications, 12 noon, eliminations under the lights. I guess that meant someone. and then you knew it was going to be a good race where they'd go like Orange County International Raceway with the 10, the 210, and the 505 explode.
Geez, I don't know if I want to be there when it explodes.
Explodes?
I just want to get off the ramp.
Yeah, I'd like to get off and park and go in with my kids. I'm not sure if I'm looking for a fire.
But it was wild.
And then I always wondered on Fox Night when they would do Foxes Free. Who was in charge of deciding who the foxes were and separating them from the fours and fives that were trying to...
That'd be horrible if you said you're so close to being a fox, but we can't let you
in. Baby, 5-8 years ago, maybe in high school, I'm sure
pounds?
Before a couple kids you had...
A dirt track with loud, greasy people. You come in, you have one breast and the possibility of a vagina.
Right.
I was going to ask you if there were any potential Mrs. Bonaducci's out
one
there.
One breast and two vaginas.
No,
you're in, baby.
But there were women that would make a really good Mr. Bonaducci. I could fix the car and told me about all these, you know, I'm hearing carburetors versus fuel injection versus this, and I'm just going, okay, I'm lost, but if you'll actually do this for me, you'll be fine.
Once in a while during these commercials, Dan, you probably remember from your youth as well, they would really get involved with just how the process worked, and it would go something like this. Nitromethane, throw it on the ground, drop a match on it, virtually nothing, but put it inside a 600 cubic inch Hemi V8 liquid dynamite! And then again, some go, some blow, where there was always the good one. Yeah, the idea that you'd
By the way, the sun blow, they were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, the raceway, empty on Yom Kippur. Because it's mostly Jews out there that go to those things.
The lion's share, not all, but 90%, yes.
It's like a ghost town.
Scott?
Yeah?
Last call of the morning. What's up, my brother?
Excellent. So I'm in this... Oh, great to talk to you guys. You guys are fabulous and all that stuff.
Thank you.
I'm in this 110-year-old building, and I'm putting down some 3/4 inch... by 3 1/4 inch old Doug Fir tongue and groove flooring.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at some websites that said you have to level the subfloor to within 1/8 inch over 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And this building's been retrofit in like the 70s. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like over an inch in some places.
Yes, he wants to put down some old reclaimed wood. Yes, my kitchen floor, Teresa Strasser, that you enjoyed so much is T&G Doug Fir. Tongue and groove Doug Fir. It's a soft wood, not normally used for flooring because it's soft, whereas oak is used quite a bit more because it's a hardwood.
Okay, now the fun begins.
You want to level your subfloor, which is the floor you put your floor on.
Right.
Yes, and it's made out of what, your subfloor?
Well, we've got three-quarter inch tongue and groove planks from, you know, 1897 with 3/8 inch ply over most of it. And then where they retrofit, they kind of cut in and made pieces and parts.
All right. So how much do you got to make up?
In some places, it's up to an inch. Most places, like a quarter.
All right. They make a leveling compound. You go to any home improvement place, you buy the stuff. Go to the flooring department. They'll make up patching, self-leveling compound, meaning, as you know, Bonaducci, water will always
find its own level.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what grade your bathtub is on. The water will be dead nuts level. So you take this self-patching or self-leveling compound, you whip it up, it becomes the consistency of pancake batter. You pour it in the spots you need to pour it and sort of trowel it off, it self-levels. It settles and it levels itself.
This is great.
Well, Scott?
Yeah.
They have that. Now, for the one-inch part, I would build that up with some plywood and then put the self-leveling stuff on it, because an inch is a lot of material. But just go to the home improvement center, go to where they sell the flooring, and go find the floor leveling compound, all right?
Excellent.
Danny looks like he could sub-care.
We'll be back.
You know what? I don't understand. I do my best to back up the man that knows the stuff, and I'm proud to know the guy that knows the stuff.
Oh, did I not do a good job of explaining that one?
No, actually, that explained perfectly. I get it. The water will seek its own level. You get the patching compound, it will find its own level. I get it all. It's just when you're listening to it, and it even makes it worse when you understand it all. Because you still know you couldn't do it.
Are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
I buy it at any home improvement store, and I stir it up. It becomes a consistency of pancake batter. I pour it. It seeks its own level. I would bring that inch up a little bit because that's a fair amount of material. I'm listening.
All right.
It's just I'm thinking, no, I can't do any of this.
You definitely could. Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't want to, and you don't have to. See, that's the whole thing.
The condos I looked at yesterday won't be ready till July. They're brand new. Everything about them are brand spanking new.
Right.
I realize I hang around with a crew of guys now that can't do this stuff, but that's fine. They can do something else that can make 10 times as much as this and then pay somebody to do it. Whereas the old crew I used to hang out with couldn't do it either, but didn't have a choice. They'll just go to the junkyard and try to pull a starter off a car that looks like theirs and spend an entire weekend busting their knuckles, not hooking it up right because they have no choice. Number 143 that sucks about being poor, which is no choice.
Right.
You must attempt to do things you can't do. And when you attempt to do things you can't do, whether it's flooring, car fixing, or dentistry, you will F it up. And then eventually have to call in a professional, and that professional will spend the first week undoing what you couldn't afford to have him do 2 weeks ago.
Until the dentistry. Yeah. And then I went, oh, God, the guy that doesn't know dentistry is going to give this a shot with the flooring compound. I'm scared.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, Phil Leotardo, starting to factor in a very prevalent way. Sopranos with Phil Leotardo, Frank Vincent, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci from last night's Sopranos.
Go back to New Jersey.
Phil, what are you doing?
Take that piece of get off my stoop.
But we just talked about this.
Well, cooler heads prevail.
Uncle Philly, will you just come down so we can discuss this?
There's nothing left to discuss, Carmine.
Frank Vincent is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good to talk to you, Frank Vincent. As I was explaining to our audience earlier this morning, tears streaming down my wife's cheeks as she thought that AJ was going to do himself in last night on The Sopranos.
It's a great scene when Tony fishes him out of the pool.
Yeah. And
that's Mike Ferrara, his double, by the way.
Who jumped in the cold water?
Yeah.
Yes, it looked freezing.
Is it because Gandolfini does not want to get cold, wet, or will empty the pool?
No, that's not something that the main actors do. The stuntmen do that.
Sure, but he had to get in the pool at some point.
Yeah, he got in ultimately. Yeah.
Let's see where to start. Frank Vincent, by the way, is on the phone. Phil Leotardo, and it looks like Phil's going to make it through to the end. At a certain point, when I was watching last night, my 11 and a half month old son who had a rough night, started crying his eyes out. I said, let's get these kids up and bring them on the bed with us and watch TV.
Yeah.
And during a very violent part, my wife said, cover his eyes.
I had to look away. There was a few really violent scenes.
Yes, there was.
You know, it's weird, though, when your kids get into it more than not into it. Like right now, my daughter still covers her eyes at the kissing scenes. You pull a guy's brains out or take an ice pick to him, she's all about it.
She's a Bonaducci.
Yeah, she is, that kid.
Yeah, you got to play it again when nobody's around, that's all.
So, Frank, now watching The Sopranos, and I think we all sort of have this feeling, those of us who have been watching over the years, it's becoming like a musical chairs game and we're running out of music.
Yeah.
We know there's only going to be so many seats left, and a lot of people are going to get hung out to dry. Now, when you're watching in the middle, and you're in the middle of season three, you know nothing could happen to Carmella, or nothing could happen to the son, or Christopher. They just, you can't. You're in the middle of a successful run. This is a main character, but it's all up for grabs now. There's two episodes left.
Right? Who knows?
I know, and I kind of almost feel like they know that, and they're screwing with us a little bit.
That's absolutely true. I mean, David has a knack for that.
Yeah, like people start, you know, every time someone gets behind the wheel of a car or walks into a bar, I think, oh, my God, okay, this is it. He's gone. It's over. We don't need him anymore.
Every moment is fraught with tension, but none more than the very end of last night's episode where you're
in the hospital.
No, where your character's yelling out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Great architecture on that house, by the way.
That house lives and breathes in Newark, New Jersey.
It was a great old turn of the century.
Handmade stone house.
Right. And the funny thing that was funny is I was, here's how it works for me, and this is why I have trouble enjoying almost anything, which is, wow, this is really compelling stuff. Tony in there with Phil Leotardo. And then the next move is wow, look at that house.
Yeah, masonry.
That's fantastic.
Wow, who did that?
Wow, nice repointing work on that masonry. That's wonderful work. And then I get screwed over a level even deeper, which is as Frank Vincent is calling from the turret of the house, go home, I'm thinking, I wonder if he ADR'd that or if he actually had to go on location.
He
had to go on location and do it from the window.
Did he really?
Absolutely. Did it from the window.
Good. I'm glad he had to go there.
We've used that house about 5 times, did some interiors there and everything.
Beautiful old turn of the century house.
In the bathroom, have the big, big, wide sinks.
Uh-huh.
You can't imagine the tile up to the ceiling.
Beautiful. Oh, back when we had cheap Italian labor.
Better to dismember a body with.
The thing that's funny about if they've ever filmed in your house, and I know, Danny, they filmed in your house, and I'm thinking about the old couple, and they filmed in that house last night on The Sopranos. The guy always makes the announcement, you won't know we were here when we're done.
Oh, boy.
And 9 months later, when you're staring at the gaffer's tape that's on the ceiling and thinking, I wonder if I should get on a chair and pull that off, but I know the paint's going to come off with it. You think, what part of you'll never know we were here does that fall on?
Imagine made them redo our whole kitchen at great expense.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy wore cleats.
32 trailers. I mean,
Yeah, it's a very important life lesson, which is that you'll never know we were here.
Right.
If it's your house, you'll never know we're here. If you're splitting to ruin the next guy's house at the next location, you'll know we were here.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
There'll be tire tracks on your front lawn for the next 6 months.
Absolutely.
Thank God the old couple that owned the house couldn't see
they
very
loved
well.
They took pictures with everybody. They loved it, you know.
So how's the book coming along?
How's what?
The book.
Coming good. We're selling copies and... having fun.
The Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man.
Yes, sir.
Available right now on frankvincent.com. But my favorite thing on that is go get your Shine Box
T-shirt. Bats.
Billy Bats.
And Phil's T-shirts are selling now. So Phil's getting popular.
Also, as I look down on the car, I forgot about Jungle Fever, Casino, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah. Those guys forever.
Auto Thoughts.
And good fellas, everyone of course remembers, but as I mentioned, I was watching Raging Bull and all over that baby too. To me, Goodfellas and Raging Bull, two of the best movies ever made.
That was my second film, Raging Bull.
Wow.
It got me my SAG card.
Wow.
What had you been doing up until then?
I did one film prior to that, an independent film, and prior to that, 20 years of playing music.
Were you ever a real gangster?
Come on.
No. But he plays.
Go home and get your
Shinebox.
But you did play. You did. You were in a band with Joe Pesci at one time.
Joe and I had a trio. Yeah, 1969 till about 74.
Now, is it true that James Caan once asked to have Joe Pesci's eye put out with a fork?
I don't know about that story.
Never
it
heard
was
that
the cover
one.
Of the National Enquirer, and it was 15 years ago, and they opened the Delano Hotel. And Joe Pesci walked out on his bill saying he assumed, not his fault, that the studio had paid. And they asked him to pay his bill. And he said, oh, the studio's got it. And he just got in his car. Mm-hmm. And James Caan, being owners with, friends with the owner, said, hey, who's this Pesci guy? I want him to stick a fork in his
eye. I don't think that would happen.
But it was right in the car. Just let you know, it was right on the cover of The Enquirer. And I believe The Enquirer.
Joe had some pretty good friends.
Hey, Frank Vincent Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos. Question, and I know you're not at liberty to talk too much about stuff, right. Although my wife did mention that last time we spoke to you, you suggested that Phil Leotardo would make it to the end, and my wife suggested after watching last night, doesn't look like Phil's going to make it to the end.
Well, you mean two more shows? Yeah.
Two more episodes.
Well, I don't know. I think Phil might be around. I don't know.
Well, at least if he gets killed in the last one, technically he made it to the end.
Made it to the end.
But final episode, longer than an hour.
No, I think it's just regular.
Really?
Because as I thought about it and somebody brought it up, they could run it an hour and a half or maybe just an hour and 12 minutes or whatever the hell. I mean, I don't think the network would care if they just went until they were done.
I have not heard anything about the length of it at all, so I don't know.
I don't want to be a spoiler, but I've hinted all I can. I don't think you're going anywhere. I think the show is going to change titles.
Wow, that's cool.
That's what I've said for weeks now. I hinted at it for months before that. And for the last couple of weeks, I've just kind of blatantly said it. Now I'm full-on blatantly saying it. I say The Sopranos is going to change its name. It's going to change bosses. And you're going to have the same show with maybe even some more interesting characters that you've watched come up through the ranks, become lieutenants and capos. I think you're going to have the same show and maybe even better.
Any talk of that, Frank?
Not to my knowledge. From what I hear in the corners of the walls, maybe a prequel.
Interesting.
Movie, you know, a prequel. Go back.
Prequel movie. It's going to be great seeing Gandolfini with a full Jufro.
Yeah.
Back from 73.
Well, I know we have to wrap it up, and you can't give us any plot points, but here's a philosophical question for you, Frank Vincent. Do you think that Tony has been conning his therapist all along?
Well, you know, the other therapist said he uses that. You know, when she goes to her therapist,
right.
and he says that he's really using this stuff against her.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Pretty heavy, man.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting about The Sopranos all the time, but especially this year, it's taking a deep philosophical look at life,
right.
And it's making some great commentary. And I'm sure the therapy stuff. Teresa actually travels chained to her therapist. A lot of people just see him once or twice a week.
It's more convenient.
So, Teresa, I'm sure that was... The point was, there's people that go to therapy to say, I'm going to therapy.
Right.
And then they just sit there and sweet talk their therapist.
Right.
And they never really get to any issues, but they're off the hook because they're going to therapy.
It validates their bad behavior.
It's like a guy who goes to AA meetings and keeps drinking.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
If you like me, what I do, and my wife pointed this out, she said it takes you at least a year to stop showing off.
Mm-hmm.
That you're crazier than you actually are. You have to show them just how nuts that you are, so they're really going to have to earn their money.
Yep.
For one year.
I go in and really display
first year.
The crazy guy.
Frank?
Yes, sir.
We're crazy about you, brother.
Yeah. Me too, my man. It's a pleasure being on your show all this time, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Well, when are you coming out to Los Angeles again?
I don't know. Next time I come, I'm going to let you know.
Please let us know and come see us in person. Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You go to frankvincent.com. You get the guy's guide to being a man's man, or...
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
you get the beer koozie with that. Go home and get your shine box. T.
Yes.
The news.
Well, there's a list of the sexiest nerd boys VH1 has put out. I'll tell you who they are. And also, can you be sexually aroused by an object?
Yeah, of course.
You mean a guy
into a car, girl, tennis bracelet.
Just like that.
I was at a Victoria's Secret store the other day. I put both my hands in my pockets to cover myself up.
Really?
Yeah, I was walking around looking at all the underwear.
At the bras?
Just the underpants.
Just the mannequins in their underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would argue that that's...
normal.
Yeah, I mean, that's an object, but it simulates the one that you want to hump.
All if right. It's, say,
plus,
like
the
a
chick
chair.
I was with was preparing to buy those things.
Ah. It's foreplay.
Mm, but a chair, yes.
We'll explore.
We'll explore next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Danny's single again, and Adam Carolla is throwing in the bachelor party he never had.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and food.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood. It's the Danny Bonaducci Bachelor Party.
Dynamite!
We'll have strippers.
I want women.
Booze.
Great.
A lot more strippers.
I want some. How much?
And probably a lot more booze, too.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Starts at 7 and ends whenever the cops show up.
The cops!
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
That would be out of sight, dude.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times.
Good times. I'm very excited about this.
Me too.
I am as well. All right.
Because I've never seen the bachelor party side. I get what it's like with the girls doing stuff with weird fruits and vegetables and things. But... also, the pursuit is on. I really, you know, I've made this pretty clear from the get-go. I do not wish to be alone, and I'm a good judge of character of who I can be in love with and who I cannot. I would say the strippers, who I will tip heavily well, are not going to be the new Mrs. Bonaducci.
I like that the pursuit is on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there is a job requirement. There is a job position called Mrs. Bonaducci. Somebody,
that's right.
Somebody quit it. Somebody didn't want the job anymore.
Mm.
And there are people who are like on MySpace stuff who I write and they know what I'm like and they know how I feel about love. I mean, weird things they know I'm drunk and they know bad things. But there are people who really like the way I like to be in love. The way I don't want to be a complete person as much as I wish to be half of a team. That's what I want. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who like it, and I don't think that should be that difficult to find.
I feel the same way with the team stuff, except for Shields and Yarnell. Not a husband and wife.
You know, I just let you hang and pretend I don't know. But that was really good. It was really good.
Thank you. They were
famous mimes in the 70s.
Somebody, I could have gone with Captain Tennille, but I thought, no, let's push it. Let's alienate a bigger section of the audience. Huh? Shields and Yarnell were mime teams.
Mimes on national television.
They had a variety TV show in the 70s. Must have been a... You know, people always talk about the pitches. Like, how the hell are you going to pitch Hogan's Heroes as a comedy about a prisoner of war camp in World War II and the nutty German commandant and all that? Must have been a tough thing. How about an hour-long primetime network variety show hosted by two mimes?
Yep. And
I feel like that would be a tough pitch.
Because you're innately born with a hatred of mimes, I think. Mm-hmm. I think most normal people just hate mimes.
Yeah.
But if you've ever seen it done well on two unfortunate occasions I have, and you go, that's fairly amazing.
Nothing
and then immediately
worse.
Followed by, why? But when they can do it, they can really do it amazing. And they're very strong. Mimes are physically strong.
I would love...
They have to be.
I would love to fill an entire show up of people who had to begrudgingly tip the cap to whatever they were making fun of. Like, you know, that thing where it's like, you always hear that guy, it's like, yeah, you know, before the accident, my wife dragged me to see Siegfried and Roy when we were in Vegas. They weren't that as bad as I thought they would be. It turns out, I love the show. You know, guys do that. Like, they have to go. They suck. Like, you've been making fun of Wayne Newton for the last 20 years, or making fun of mimes, or making fun of Circus Delay, or Olay, or whatever it is, or Blue Man, or whatever. And then you go and see the show, and you go,
it's okay. Karen makes me laugh.
Yeah,
I was part of this, actually. On New Year's Eve, 94, 95, whatever it is, maybe 96. It was Dennis Miller was opening for Gallagher, and Dennis Miller had done in his act, not a mean joke, but a joke about making fun of people. Instead of saying something about a trailer, saying something about white trash, saying something about this, he said, get all your Gallagher fans back to their room, which was mean to mean silly people. If you know what I mean.
Right.
It was mean.
Yeah.
And then Gallagher was the bigger draw.
Sure.
And then I had the local radio station, so I became the MC. So I opened for Dennis Miller, who opened for Gallagher after making nasty comments about his act. It was pretty uncomfortable.
He had to eat crow, and it tasted like watermelon.
Man, it tasted like probably 100 G's for 45 minutes.
Gallagher will be in the flesh. And, yes, whatever people say about Carrot Top, they're saying it about Gallagher 10 years earlier.
Right.
The biggest grossing comedian, he'll be in here and tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know why he'd argue with me on this one. Of the 80s, I will tell you my personal movie pitch called Kill Gallagher, which I'm not sure if he's actually heard or not. Maybe Kimmel told him at one point. I think he'll be in love with this idea. We'll talk to him.
Tom Amir is a good sport. He's behind the Nuremberg glass right in there, so yes. Keep away from us.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like he's having a good time. Yeah.
Well, we'll bring him in the flesh. But first, T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Sylvester Stallone has been convicted and fined for being caught with human growth hormone at the airport in Sydney, Australia earlier this year. Stallone, who pleaded guilty last week to trying to bring 48 vials of HGH and 4 vials of testosterone into the country, was fined a mere $3,000, ordered to pay another about $10,000 in court costs. He apologized and said he'd been using the stuff to treat a medical condition and he didn't know he was breaking the law.
Oh, well, by the way, first of all, the medical condition is called age.
It's called, your birthday.
The human growth hormone, I've said I have a chest full of it, and I didn't see it. It's that I'm an instant results guy, and it's a longer thing. Like my wife said she got good hair and fingernail compliments. I literally have a drawer of this stuff, thousands of dollars of this stuff. Do you want me to bring it in so you guys can just
bring it in
and
see if we can grow some hair on Brian?
No, you'd have to shoot it for, you wouldn't feel a thing, but you'd have to shoot it for 6 months to
see shoot him out.
I'll do it for you.
Anything for the show?
The thing about, you know, it's always funny when people are like, I didn't know this stuff was illegal. Right. You smuggled it in a hollow shoe. half the vials were in your ass. The other were in a hollow shoe. And then when we caught you, you were trying to flush it down the toilet. That doesn't normally happen with things you don't think are illegal.
Yeah, I don't swallow my toothbrush.
Right. When I bring my Tylenol PM or my Motrin into a country and there's a knock on the door, you don't see me throwing it out the window.
There's a stuff called decapropanate, which the best one they make is in Australia. And the logo is a kangaroo in boxing gloves. And then it says veterinarian right on it. It's a pretty good clue. It might not be cool for you to import into the country.
Stallone should be cited just for his crazy hair. Have you seen the crazy black long hair?
He's my boy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, there's a certain part of life, a certain dignity that you have to have as you get older where you can't wrestle with the calendar. Ladies, nobody wants to see long blonde hair when you're in your 60s.
Right.
There's a whole reason why women get the shorter haircut and do whatever with their hair. You see the crazy realtors with the permatan and the long, crazy blonde hair, and the woman's in her 60s, and she's wearing a tube top and candies, and it's a disaster. Guys, you can go that direction, too. It's hard to go as far as women do, but you can. And Sly, if you're listening, it's time to stop. Turn off that 30-year-old highway you're on and start heading down that James Brolin highway. We're good-looking guys, let their hair go silver, grow a beard, and just sort
of replace James Caan?
James Caan seems like, well, I saw Caan in person.
Because I love Stallone and I want the best for him. I think he's great. And I really don't want him to be humiliated or embarrassed in any way.
What he needs to do is do that thing that he did in Copland, which is get off the roids, let the hair grow out. He'll be up for an Academy Award 2 years from now in some role that surprises everybody as the gay uncle who had to come back and stay at the house he was molested in many years ago.
Yeah.
Write that down for Gallagher. Stallone don't want it.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Now, earlier you were mentioning our own Brian. Now, he's someone
Brian.
I would consider...
Oh, Bald Brian.
Oh. Doesn't have sound effects. Mm-hmm. He's somebody I would consider in the sexy nerd category.
Right.
VH1...
Got the nerd part right.
VH1 has a show called Best Week Ever, and they compiled a list of sexiest nerd boys. Mm-hmm. Top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are kind of unexpected. Some are sexy. Making the list, the director, Wes Anderson. He did Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And actually, speaking of Rushmore, Jason Schwartzman, who was the star of Rushmore, made the list.
Right. I can see that.
Most deaf. I don't know how he qualifies as a nerd, maybe because he skateboards. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter.
Mos Def was in that movie, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, sort of a nerdy sci-fi guy.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Nerd correspondent, just a few feet away.
Yeah. Hey, for the nerd update.
Masioka from Heroes.
Yeah, you knew he'd be in there. Yeah.
And the number one sexy nerd, Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart?
Yeah.
From the Daily Show?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's a nerd or not, but he's so smart, he's handsome to me. There are people that are so clever, they transcend their looks to me.
Yeah, you know what's sexy about him? I saw a documentary on crossword puzzles, and he's obsessed with the New York Times crossword puzzle. That's sexy.
Nerd! If you can do it in Sharpie, you're a real man.
Yeah, I wonder why John's...
What makes him a nerd?
Yeah.
Let's ask Brian. Knows everything
Brian,
about
why
nerds.
Are you attracted to John Stewart?
Too many reasons to get into now. He's a nerd because he was in Wordplay, the documentary
right.
about crossword
puzzles.
So it was
puzzles. Just about, that got him
and
in.
He's into politics and reading and the new
Politics
and reading. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
He's like obsessive about the crossword puzzle.
My agent is his agent, and evidently John doesn't have a lot of buddies.
Really? Keeps to himself?
Yeah, he's one of these guys that just doesn't hang with guys. Doesn't go anywhere with guys, doesn't hang out with guys. There are guys.
Right.
And then there's Jon Stewart, and there's a lot of guys that are this way. And I guess it sort of solves itself because I always make the proclamation where I go, I don't want to hang with any guy that doesn't want to hang out with any guys.
Right.
And then I realize, oh, done and done.
Right.
And we see each other, and I've gone out with him a time or two, and a very nice guy, but... I think they're guys, and smart has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, smart hurts you in this department in the hangout mode. You know what I mean? Like, dogs are stupid, but they're the best creatures for hanging out.
Right, sure.
My dog, Molly, dumb as a cinder block, should write a book on how to hang out.
Good company.
Good going, good looking, good, what do we call it?
Good looking out.
Good looking out. Yeah, Jon Stewart and other guys that are that smart, not great to hang because they're too aware of themselves.
Right.
They're almost uncomfortable in their own skin. When you have that brain that's so much bigger than everyone else's, you don't know how to act.
Yeah.
You go and do play. You don't know how to act when you go out to eat, when you interact, when you socialize. There's a part of socializing that requires your brain, but there's another part that just sort of requires your vibe.
I don't see Jon Stewart going down to Tijuana, being thrown over the waiter's shoulder, spun around three times while he blows a whistle, and then a shot of tequila thrown down his throat.
Margarita's Village you're talking about, and I threw up in the ice maker there.
Yeah. See, I don't see John doing that.
No.
I see us doing that.
I will tell you, at that place, at Margarita's Village that Danny spoke of, boy, we got a lot in common, Bonaducci. You cannot turn down a shot of tequila. And it's not a shot, it's a popper. They take tequila and they mix it with 7-Up and they slam it on the ground and they slam it on the top, the tabletop, and you do a shot. Now, here's how it works. Teresa, you could be allergic to alcohol.
Yes.
And Danny, you could be deep into recovery with over a year of sobriety.
Yep.
And I could say, that's nice. I've got to go to the bathroom. And when I went into the bathroom, somewhere in between the bathroom and the table, I find a guy who's dressed like an old-time inmate with the striped suit on, except for he's wearing roller skates. And I say, see the red-haired guy over there?
Right.
Yep. You see the chick next to it? Uh-huh. I want them both to get a double. Here is $8. And in which case, you feel an arm go around your neck and another one on your forehead and some guy blowing a whistle and he tilts your head back and he slams the slammer on the top of the thing and he shoots it down your throat. You have no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
You have zero choice in the matter. If
you're
you try
hostage.
To fight him, you will physically fight him and the entire place will stand up and start screaming if you don't
take it.
And then when he is done putting the popper, the slammer, the whatever, the tequila compote into your mouth, he then puts his forearm over your mouth and will shake your head like a paint can until you're sufficiently scrambled. Now, after about 15 or 20 of those, you throw up in the ice maker. That's what happened to me at Margarita's Village in Tijuana.
On this show, though, that's not the bad place to throw up. Keeps the smell down.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cold.
Contained.
Now, I know we have to wrap up, so in closing, I promised I would tell you what objectophilia is, and that is when somebody has a sexual obsession with an inanimate object, like a chair or a car or a building.
Ooh, I have one with my TiVo.
Ah.
I gave it to him. Her.
It's a her.
I gave it to her good last night.
Well, like a ship, You know, it's a huge scene. Mm-hmm. A 41-year-old who was interviewed for a German newspaper is in love with his car. And he said, you can reveal yourself to an object in an intimate way, in a way that you would never reveal yourself to a person.
Hi, I like you, Buick.
Just make sure that exhaust pipe cools off before you reveal yourself to it.
By the way, Shrek the third, I should say, number one at the box office. We will hear a review of that from your friends Ozzy and Ray later in the show. For now, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, Gallagher. Yes. You remember Gallagher. I have so much to say about Gallagher. As I said, Jimmy and I came up with a movie called Kill Gallagher. You know, we went around town pitching it for quite some time.
How was it received?
I'd imagine fairly well.
Have you seen it in the movie theater?
Good point.
It was 8 years ago. had a few folks. Well,
goodbye.
I'll get into it with Gallagher himself. Highest grossing comedian of the 80s, Gallagher. Everybody in studio next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Now, there's two kinds of gay people. There's the girl ones, the lesbians, and then there's the guy ones. Now, the girl ones come in two varieties, the ugly one and the pretty one. But the boys, they just come in one type, the pretty ones. I don't know why gay men have to be good-looking. They ain't facing each other.
And now Gallagher is on the Adam Carolla Show.
The legendary comedian Gallagher. House of Blues, Anaheim, Tuesday. Tomorrow night, May 22nd, 8 p.m. Gallagher,
Tomorrow night? No, Wednesday.
Well, it says Tuesday, May 22nd.
Really? Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, play it safe and go tomorrow night. No one's there. Drive back home and then show up the next night. Gallagher, I don't know where to begin with you and my questions for you. Do we start at the highest grossing comedian of the 80s? Is that true?
Well, I promoted my own show, so I made all the money. So it's not fair to say, you know, to compare me with guys that would agree to go out for $5,000 and the gross was 20 and the promoter used, seven or eight to promote it and gave you half of the money and you had to argue about whether or not you got a plane ticket and then you had to pay an agent and a manager. Maybe you cleared $4,000, whereas I was making the 20 less the seven. It's show business. I went out with Kenny Rogers, and I stayed in the bus with his promoter, C.K. Spurlock, and I realized that he was running the business.
Mm-hmm.
So then after I did 100 shows with Kenny, and so you see, I started on at the very top. My first job was the opening of the Reunion Center in Dallas, Texas, and I told I don't know how much you can say on this station. Can you say the
less
P word that describes a guy that's not a real nice guy? How do you circumcise Iranians? You can't. There ain't no end to them. And then the P word.
Right.
And it was the time to say that when they had our hostages.
Sure.
I said it. And it was, 14,000. It seated 14,000. And so Kenny didn't want me to be on the tour. I ruined my career the first night because I met Ken Cragen at one of the talk shows, and he says, why don't you let me manage you? And I said, why do I need you? I'm already doing talk shows.
Well, Gallagher.
What?
Calm down for a second. Take a breath. Relax. Gallagher, so highest grossing comedian of the 80s. You did it, the money went in your pocket.
I think my record is the most sold out shows. I think I was sold out from 82 to 87.
And so you're independently wealthy at this point?
I sold out in 1970 and I'm still selling out today.
Oh, I'm not selling
I'm not doing
out
comedy.
Now. I appreciate it. I'm working my way down. Everything I missed on the way up, I'm experiencing now. And the great thing about working your way down is every day is the best it's going to be. And it's going to get worse after that, which is a wonderful feeling.
It's interesting point. Instead of looking ahead to better days, tomorrow's going to be worse.
You know, the same grit and fortitude that got me to the top is going to see me to that worst place with the drunks and the obnoxious, stupid people that won't listen, and I'm not making any money. I'm breaking even now. I haven't made a dollar at the comedy business in 5 years. Lucky I do have my investment.
If you want drunks that won't listen, just come home with me after the show, man.
I should tell you, I don't know if you know this, Adam, but apparently Gallagher was up all night day trading. Night trading in this case, but he doesn't stop.
I just started trading when the market opened, but I was up all night because I flew in from Chicago. I worked in one of the, you know, the down out places. I was in Michigan City, Indiana.
Well,
last
Gallagher,
night.
Hold on. Let's just focus for 1 second here. You're independently wealthy, right? I mean, you have enough money to last you the rest of your life. Yes?
No.
No, you don't.
You don't have $2 million?
You didn't put it all away?
Yeah, I got $2 million.
Yeah, well, you invested that wisely. You think you could live? I'm not great, but you could live on $2 million.
I have a piece of property worth that. Adam, you've got to see this property. It's the top of the mountain looking down at Malibu Lake. I look down on Charlie Sheen's house.
Wow, I bet you've seen some stuff.
We can see it on the internet. Can you get your friend to look up
268? I don't have any friends here, Gallagher. But I can get the bald guy at the computer to do something.
The great thing about the internet is you can see from the satellite on the Google Maps, and I can show you the top of the hill.
You want to give your home address out, Gallagher?
No, I want to give the address of the property.
Is there a structure on it?
No.
Are you going to build on it?
No, I'm afraid. But you like building.
I do.
You've got to see this as a palette for your creativity. Imagine being the king of the hill.
For my artistry.
I won't let anybody build on it because I don't want a cheap house. You're going to be the king of that whole, you know, that lake with all the crappy little buildings around it that cost $1 million?
Yeah.
Yep. I live on that road. That's where the guy that...
Cheech?
No.
Chung? Connie Chung?
He was on... I can't remember nothing. I'm 60.
All right. Well, let me remember it for you, because I'll tell you a story. And by the way, Gallagher's show is tomorrow night. I'll go back to...
House of Blues in Anaheim.
Go back to about 8 years ago. I was doing Loveline with Dr. Drew. And the band Dishwalla was the program. And Dishwalla, we asked them, where'd you get the very peculiar name, Dishwalla? That's a strange name for a band. And they said, in these impoverished villages in parts unknown, the guy who sells the satellite dish is called the Dishwalla.
Ah.
And then they went on to explain that these poor people that are living on dirt floors are watching Western television. And I thought, wow, that's got to be surreal. You're watching reruns of Dynasty and Falcon Crest and God knows what else, and you're on a dirt floor.
Right.
And Drew, who says something funny once every 6 years, said, imagine seeing a Gallagher concert.
Right, sure.
And I said, that's right. You're on your 10th year of famine. There's a dust bowl. You can't get anything to grow in the ground.
Getting food.
You're going through a dumpster to try to find your next meal. And here's this bald comedian who has a 30-pound watermelon sitting on a chopping block, and he's going to destroy it with a sledge-o-matic, a giant sledgehammer. Now, for those of you who aren't old enough, part of Gallagher's act and part he's famous for was the sledge-o-matic. He would get the huge sledgehammer out. He would put a carton of eggs on there. He would put a zucchini, a squash, a watermelon, pow, and it would go flying everywhere. Thus, everyone in the first 20 rows would have to wear rain slicker or be destroyed by the sledge-o-matic. Now, I said, imagine you're in this village and you're watching this guy destroy produce. Meanwhile, you have nothing to eat. You would go insane, and if you were superstitious enough and you were one of these groups that, you know, sacrificed people to the volcano god, you might send someone to go kill Gallagher so that you could get your crop back in order.
Are we getting towards your movie? Is that what's happening?
It's called Kill Gallagher.
Ah.
I like that. I like that.
Is that the plot line?
Plot is think gods must be crazy.
Right. Got it.
Meets Gallagher.
Go to Vegas to kill Gallagher.
Now, the funny thing is about your act, well, almost everything, because I was one of your first, you know, you're supposed to be snide and kind of above things in the entertainment world when you're on the radio, especially on talk radio. But I had seen your act on HBO before I had seen it in person, and the Sledge-O-Matic thing was just starting to take off. And the 45 minutes that led up to that was brilliant, well thought out comedy, like stories that made
Gallagher
not only the kind of sense, but the kind of sense where you'd go,
yes,
hey, that makes real sense. I should think about that as a way of life.
Gallagher does not get credit for his social commentary,
no, he
just as sledge-o-matic.
the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
But are you saying that I made a big career mistake by not going with your idea when you sent Jimmy Kimmel out to my house to pitch it?
Jimmy Kimmel went out to Gallagher's house.
Really? Do you remember Kimmel coming over to your house?
Funny. Yeah.
And he came home and he's like, Gallagher's insane.
Really?
I said, how do you know? And he said, the whole time he was there, he was trying to invent some sort of anti-gravity machine for his kid. Had a kid hooked up to a harness and a bungee cord, and he was flying around some sort
Don't you have children?
I do now, yes.
Do you have a boy?
I do.
Okay, what they're going to do is crawl around on the furniture while they watch TV. Won't do one thing at a time.
I'm not going to build a Thunderdome for my kid,
All
though.
I did was hang a rope. I just hung a rope
hang your kid from your living room.
18-foot, and so he has a swing. Now he swings while he watched TV. But I got tired of swinging him, so I gave him another rope so he could pull on it to swing himself.
Kimmel wasn't lying.
He started to learn how to make it rotate, and he orbited the living room, which was 26-foot square. And he was orbiting the living room. Listen, you got to be a good parent. And houses aren't fun. Right. They have vases on tables and you can't run. It's not made for kids. And I've redesigned houses. And in fact, what I'm dedicating the second half of my life to is a housing project that I can hardly wait to talk to you about at another time.
Another time?
All right. Here's what I'm doing. I think families...
Boring!
No. Is it boring?
No.
Huh?
This is amazing.
You want me to tell you my,
I do.
Who wants to be the guy that smashed watermelons? I want to make another contribution.
Sure.
Right.
Well, it's on my website. You can go to my website and see my list of things
Let me just backtrack, because we'll take a break, and then we'll hear about your Habitat for Humanity in one second. But Kimmel said he got back from your house, and your kid was swinging from a bungee cord in the living room.
How old was this kid at the time?
29.
Because you just mentioned you're 60. This can't have been that long ago. I'm trying to do the math.
He's 18 now. He's graduating from Agora High School.
So he's like 10 years old at the time.
They elected him the class clown. Guess what?
Shocker. What a legacy. Come on. All right, we need to take a break. But when we come back, the great Gallagher, who will be at the House of Blues in Anaheim tomorrow night, Gallagher, write it down, baby.
Why does net zero cost $9.95?
Thank you.
Wow.
I was giving you an out to the commercial. Giving you a little button there.
Thank you for nothing. House of Blues Tuesday night.
That's not nothing. That is thoughty. That is part and parcel of the lies that go on in America, where they start with one thing and switch it on you, and you think you're getting it for nothing, and then it costs you a lot, just like marriage, right?
You mean it's got the word net zero in it, and it's $10.
That's
business. All right. When we come back,
it's called marriage business.
Gallagher, the man behind the Sledge-O-Matic, will explain what he's doing.
I ran for governor. Remember that?
I do remember that.
I got 16th.
That's out of 14
out of
11, people.
Yeah.
I started that to have funny people run, though. Remember, it was my creativity.
Kimmel's on the phone now. Jimmy?
Kimmel!
Well, I never actually went to Gallagher's house.
You did say it was nuts.
He was in the driveway. Is that what you're going to say?
No, he is definitely nuts. I'm not going to argue about that. But Gallagher, but in a good way, because could you imagine? Gallagher was not just, by the way, setting this thing up for his kid in his own place. He was looking to buy a building that would be tailored specifically to hanging his son and his son's friends from
human
the
foosball. What's the matter with that idea?
Right.
It's a great idea, but, you know, the idea that you would spend millions of dollars on human foosball.
The contrast you with
I was going
to
have a TV show that part of the budget.
You know, mine was only about $5,000, but I have very, very similar to what Gallagher has in our home, a full swing set connected to the ceiling and the panels in the roof rather than a support.
Danny, it's called a sex swing. That's not for the kids.
He's six, for God's sakes. Not sex.
It's a rattan basket with a hole in the bottom of it.
No, that's in my room,
that's not for the kids. Please.
By the way, this was before we had Google Earth and things where you could search. So Gallagher, I was on the phone from my house with Gallagher. He made me stand in the top floor of my house, and then over the telephone, he explained to me where each of his homes that was occupied by a different ex-wife was.
Shocker that you've been divorced, Gallagher. Yeah. All right.
Does that get easier?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what you draw on. How can I go around the country talking to people if I have no experience?
Yeah, you're right.
How do you get 45 minutes out of someone I shot her in the head?
Adam, you know how we could really sell this movie is if you were to kill him right there in the studio right now.
All right. Well, be prepared for radio history.
No, you're going to love me. You're going to be part of this project. It's going to go worldwide.
All right.
The Tetherball Kid Project?
No, the Family Reunion Resort.
Oh, okay.
No, that's cool. That's a good idea.
All right. Jimmy, by the way, who's on the show tonight?
Oh, I wish I knew. I have no idea.
That's what I love.
Man's fully ready to
come on now.
Jimmy Kimmel, 1205 ABC. Thank you very much. Jimmy, we need to take a break. We'll come back.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Tell him I said hi and I want my bracelet back.
Tonight?
Yeah, I'll do that.
I want my bird back.
Thanks, Jimmy. Gallagher, highest grossing comedian in the 80s now. Clinically insane, everybody. Back to explain his plan for the American youth next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Made a famous sex tape cause her hobby's getting laid. She blew her way through Hollywood and it only took a day. Heard she f***ed a guy in Reno just cause she's a slut.
Never had time to, like, really get to know myself. I always put all my energy into the man.
That's that hose hound Paris Hilton who can't keep her toothpick leg shut.
That's hot.
Now she's going to prison. I hope they throw away the key. When you're a no-talent heiress, you get no sympathy. With no ass and no boobies, a hot chick I don't see.
I don't get to, like, spend time on me, so now I'm just getting to know who I really am.
Jail will only make her more famous, and that really bothers me.
I want to do, like, a really hot performance.
Gallagher. Comedian Gallagher.
No. And a songwriter. You know, I worked with Jim Stafford in
Wackadoo, baby.
And I helped him to write one of the first homosexual funny songs, My Girl Bill. That was one of the first songs that was allowed on the radio.
It was a great song, too.
You remember My Girl Bill?
My Girl Bill.
Jim Stafford had a monkey named Wackadoo.
No, he didn't.
So you know he was...
Chuck Berry had a My Ding-a-ling.
He had a monkey named Wackadoo. Look it up.
On the animal show?
I don't know what happened with Jim Stafford other than Wackadoo died.
He has a multi-million dollar house in Branson and a theater there. Makes a big, big money.
Have you ever thought about that?
I was there. I got kicked out. Actually, I was arrested. Well, actually,
dude, can you and I just start every story the same way? So I got kicked out and I got arrested.
But Gallagher, you could not dislocate
her rotator cuff.
You could go out to Branson and just ride out your glory years.
I was there for the summer. They kicked me out.
Why?
They said that I attacked. It was assault and battery.
But who did they say you attacked?
A person in the audience, but she actually worked for the theater.
Well, what happened?
Well, I didn't want to do the show, and so I said, let's not do the show. But she had her son there, who she doesn't normally see, and she wanted to smash. You know, I let people up on stage now. I don't do the smashing.
Mm-hmm. Shoulders out, it's interactive.
You mean they get the sledge-o-matic out and do your smashing for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not fun to stand there and watch me. Everybody wants to do it. So then the parents take pictures of the kids doing it. It's interactive. That's what's fun today.
And then you sell the photographs out front and sign them.
No, I don't sell nothing. I'm not making any money.
So you get the chick up on stage.
No, I didn't. I was doing the act. I agreed to do the show, but then she was yelling out the punchlines, and I wanted everybody to know.
This is Branson, Missouri, by the way.
The girl who wanted me to do the show was the one who was ruining it. And so I asked her to stand. And because I touched her, she then filed a police report.
Mm-hmm. Gallagher was run out of Branson, Missouri.
Yeah. The district attorney was running for another political office and liked the idea of the publicity that would come from the case.
Sure.
So I've seen stuff like that.
You want to be the man that puts Gallagher behind bars.
Right.
That's so right.
I think you're kidding, but it'll get you if you're the DA from nowhere.
Well,
and you arrest Gallagher.
I had another case pending at the time where I whacked a guy in Laughlin, but he was my plant.
Just to watch him die.
I put a guy in the audience and he sued me.
You got sued by your own plant?
Yeah, in Laughlin.
It's like Joe getting sued by Mo.
That's right.
That's why I want to go into the construction business. Let's build this house on top of a mountain looking down at Malibu Lake and get out of
Before
this.
Before we it's get into crazy. That potentially boring topic, did, is it true that you sued your brother because he was touring as Gallagher?
He wouldn't listen to me.
But your brother took over your act
no,
at some point.
No, I let him.
Right.
I wanted
Gallagher too.
I have 14 hours of material. I have 14 right. videos. Mm-hmm. Why not do the old jokes in small places I wasn't going? That was about 10 years ago when I wasn't going.
You were
going
filling up big arenas and stuff.
Yeah,
big
so he could go to the little places.
Because when you were saying
and more
about,
people would be happy. What's the matter with
when
that?
When you were saying about $7,000 a show and blah, 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 there was a time that you were probably making, what, $100,000 a show?
No. No, I would only make
it I opened for you one night in Chicago, buddy, and you made at least $50,000 that year, that day.
I don't think so.
I made 10, well, and I just said hi.
Well, this arrangement with your brother seems like it was going well. But it ended up in
You're
court.
Supposed to listen to your big brother when he tells you what to do. And I went to Tom Sobel, who runs the comedy club in Louisville, Kentucky. He managed
sure.
him
sure,
for 5 years.
That's a household name.
Yeah. Who?
Right.
Tom
Sobel. Right. So your brother, this is your younger brother. This is your younger brother.
I set him up to tell the truth to the American public, but Tom Sobel's office didn't like working with him, and they said, can we get rid of him? So then he found other promoters who were unscrupulous and told him if you would charge 22 instead of 12, they won't know it's not Gallagher.
So does your brother, does your younger brother look that much like you?
No, every night there's another guy in the audience that looks more like me than him, but what do people know? You know,
I would know if a guy with a out of
they
bald
don't
spot,
they
no
don't.
Mustache showed up.
Well, no, he was close. You know,
close
he was,
enough.
He was close.
So he was passing
like David Crosby.
Well, he wouldn't come out into the audience and sign autographs like I do before the show. He hid, and they played music really loud so the people couldn't talk. And he had the credit card thing there with his wife, and they'd get you to sign it before you went in to make sure that you wouldn't ask for your money.
Brother, so it starts off by you saying to your younger brother,
"Here's a living."
Hey, here's a living. Instead, it turns
and the feeling of people applauding you and you making people laugh.
You know what I believe? Can I tell you what I believe about Gallagher completely? His gestures. Those are the gestures of a happy, sincere man. Yes. When he says, like, if you and I said, those feelings, he says in this bad radio, but arms are going to go shooting out from my side in a crucifixional type picture. It's the feeling of making those people laugh. I believe that you have a great time at this.
Oh, yeah.
Happy hands.
They used my videos in cancer research and discovered the releasing of endorphins helped fight cancer at Loma Linda Hospital. You can look it up on the internet.
They also found they're wearing giant Western hats with cars to drive around and cause brain cancer. So you're not even.
So Gallagher, you give this, you generously give the act
no
to your
good
brother. And your brother tries to take over your personality.
These unscrupulous promoters start defrauding the audience, and they tell them that Gallagher is in drug rehab, or he's the East Coast Gallagher, and I'm the West Coast Gallagher.
Do you talk to your brother anymore?
No.
That's it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that is it.
If you pitch a show now called Kill Gallagher's Brother, I'll just go do it.
Wait a second. Is there any chance that you and your brother might mend your offenses?
Why? I have millions of fans who love
me. But he's blood. He's your brother.
That's not significant.
I'm with you.
What would it take? What if he apologized to you? Not enough?
No, on top of being not honorable, it was stupid. If you defraud the audience, how do you come back?
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I often say
that was a short-term strategy.
With Britney Spears, they ask me all the time.
The reason I'm still in the business is I think I give people value for their money. By promoting my own shows, I never had to screw the audience. I kept the price cheap, and now they bring back their kids. This is the really reward.
Well, the reality is for $8, you can watch this guy go through $700 worth of produce.
That's it.
That's
no, you
for
get
your
to go through it. I'm not smacking.
No more.
With really good. I hesitate to say this because that's what he's so known for. But I caught you a long time ago, and I thought some of your jokes and the hat was fascinating. The hat with the ladder would come down, and the car would drive around. That was interesting. But the actual political real thought that went into these jokes that were disguised by a guy with a sledgehammer and fruit. Were amazing. I thought your comedy was really straight.
I'm real irritated about it.
You know what? It's your own fault, though. It really is.
What do you do, though? This town looks for a positive to put after your name. Gallagher, watermelon-smashing comedian.
Right. Danny Bonaducci, convicted felon radio guy. I'm with you 100%, but I do feel it was your own fault because your comedy was so clever, and it never got the chance because of the hats and the smash.
I think Blue Man Group owes me some kind of a percentage.
Gave them a disease that turned them that color.
They're squirting them just outright now. They just plain out. Quar, Insane Clown Posse.
Right.
Shamu did not smash anybody before me.
Right. Very true. Very true.
Steve Wynn built a theater in Vegas that drops kids into a pool and they hand out towels.
No, it sounds like you have mental problems.
Gallagher invented gravity, quite honestly.
You invented anti-gravity.
I invented touching the audience and hoping they didn't sue you.
I buy that. You're a paradigm-shifting comedian. You started the big props and everything and the interaction.
And then they made movies using my ideas. The Big Comfy Couch was a kid's show.
Mm-hmm.
On Stripes, they had a Winnebago with rockets on top. Right. I invented that.
Do you disapprove of
I had the big long gun that you couldn't stick somebody up with because you couldn't reach their pocket. That was in Stripes.
No, it was in
Police Story.
Right.
All the writers from
Police
those
Academy,
movies.
Police Academy, I'm guessing.
Police Story.
They hung out down at the Police Stories.
All right.
DJ in America said the joke I wrote, Hollywood's a bowl of granola, what ain't fruits and nuts and flakes. And I said that in like 1975.
Well, Gallagher, quickly, because we talked about before we went to break, your invention for children in America and housing.
Well, but you know that the kids join gangs because of the family feel they get from the gang, not the illegal activities. They're not getting something at home.
They want to belong.
If they knew that they belonged to a family that was bigger than their parents, that's a gang.
Right.
We need facilities for people to meet that are not dangerous for your kids, like a hotel.
Or the Boys and Girls Club of America?
Or bigger than a house for the bathroom. So I envision, and we should tell architects, give me a space for 40 to 50 related people to spend a three-day weekend together and bond. And we've never done this. It should be a big open area with 10 doors on each side, and those are the bedrooms, but they don't have TVs in them, and they don't have a bathroom, because we want people to enjoy the central area where there is a kitchen, and you smell the food cooking from your own ethnic background.
Well,
there's a meeting area for having either religious ceremonies or corporate. This could be rented to corporations. I'll get your attention.
Rehab.
You could have an orgy there. Yeah, I get you now, Adam. An orgy. If it has one door and you can keep the kids in, you can also keep the cops out, and I can rent this to fraternities. But I didn't want to say that, but I know I'm losing you.
No, you're not.
Do you have kids?
I do.
But they're young.
They're young, but I feel like they'll be
candidates. Do you have a big family?
No, I don't.
Could we take calls from people who say, we've tried to have a family reunion, we couldn't find a facility, it's way too expensive? Because I go around the country finding the buildings.
Right.
In downtown Chattanooga, there's an electrical building.
From there.
Been there.
That has been abandoned by the electric company. It's three stories, and the downtown area sucks.
All right, let's do this phone call.
And it's got an aquarium, a children's museum, and a baseball stadium.
All right, what is this phone call about? What do you want to accomplish on this phone call? Because I'm going to call you
We wanted to start with
hello, this is Gallagher, and you
we
show me
we wanted to have a family reunion. We couldn't find a facility.
Do it as a troubled 12-year-old.
Gallagher. My name's Steve, and I'm trying to get together with my family, and, you know, my big brother Bobby's got drug problems, and I think my sister has a bad rash, and Daddy might have caused it, and we want to get together and be a real family. What could you do for us?
Well, I would keep you from meeting in cabins in the woods, because you know you kids are going to get behind those cabins and have sex and smoke dope. And so what I'm going to do is put you in a common room where Mom can watch you, because this room is all about security. Mom's going to stand in the middle of the kitchen, and she's going to be able to look in one room and see the little kids playing, and another room and see the bigger kids playing, because if you put them together, there's going to be crying.
You're going to be fighting.
And there's going to be fighting. And instead, she's going to cook and commune with her family, and the men are going to be over there, and it's called...
Foster care?
No, 40 Doors. Isn't that the cutest name?
That is good.
Well, for the timing, you might want to call it 40 Acres and a Mule.
Hey, what about weddings? I saw my big fat Greek wedding.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
And the night before, I'm excited. That's
should be. I like your excitement. I think you're a nut job, but I dig
this idea.
It's a great
on
idea.
Your show.
And it could also be used for orgies.
It could grow across the United States. Do you know what would happen if, remember when Roots came out and everyone looked back to see where their family came from?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This could be the same kind of a movement where people don't know what they're missing. Remember when we didn't have Federal Express and you couldn't get a piece of paper overnight for $30?
Yeah.
Well, they don't know what they're missing with a family reunion.
All right, so it's 40 Doors.
That's really interesting.
Is it for at-risk youth?
No, it's for anybody who wants to get together with their family. In fact, I think corporations would rent it during the week because they love to bring people in and have control over them.
I think it's a retreat center. Is that what you mean?
Why not? In Chicago, you can have a bar mitzvah at this place and get food and drinks, but then you have to drive drunk home. Why not have bedrooms around that room?
Plus, I don't think Gallagher likes the word retreat. There's just something about the word retreat
Right, because it seems special like you're going out in the woods to do this when it can be done in downtown area. In Raleigh, North Carolina, they're building a new convention center, and right across the street from it and the railroad tracks is an abandoned building of 10,000 square feet. You could take the train to Raleigh, walk across, never go to the airport and all that security problem. The kids would love a train ride, and they'd have the people from New York could come south, the people from Florida come north, and you all meet in Raleigh.
All I know is the difference between Chattanooga and Raleigh. You really hit the hump of a family value.
Phoenix! In, across from the Phoenix airport is an abandoned shopping center where we could do this too.
I'm already on it. I already have my people on it.
And I just drove from Chicago, and the airport in Gary.
Hold on, you're allowed to drive?
Across from the airport, it's called an international airport too, in Gary. Vacant lots. We could revitalize the whole Gary area. I'm thinking of going on Letterman because he's an Indiana guy, and they need to fix that upper left-hand corner of that state.
It's nobody loves the people like Letterman.
Gallagher.
He is warm, isn't he? He's never had me on.
Let's just proceed as if this is going really well.
When both of us were starting, we didn't want to go to the comedy store because the big comics would steal your jokes. So we both went to this little club that Murray Langston bought from these
comic.
The lesbian bar. It was the showbiz club on Lancashire.
Gallagher, you know what you ought to do? What? You ought to hire me to travel with you.
To explain. Yeah.
You speak a million miles an hour. I explain in English what you're talking about. It's like, me and Murray, we're in Branson. I go, Branson, Missouri,
agreed to
big
do
tourist
the show
trip. Murray
Langston,
unknown comic.
I knew we could work together like this. I don't do very many shows.
We are simpatico, my friend.
I don't like people. Yeah. I don't like them.
Really?
I don't.
Right back at you.
What about Letterman? You were saying you guys started at the same time?
Yeah, if you start with a guy from the very beginning and then he gets to be big and have his own show, shouldn't you think you were going to be on that show?
He never had you on in the 80s?
Never.
See, all I can think is that if Adam pitches Kill a Gallagher before you get out of this building, I really like Adam.
It's called Danny Kill Gallagher now.
Yeah. I work on the Adam Carolla show. It's not much I can do about it. I'm sorry, sir. I really do like you.
Gallagher. Helping America if he'd let me on his show.
Gallagher, I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you off, but we're just way past commercial break. And a lot of range, Gallagher. When he's not hating people, he's building shellfish for kids.
I didn't talk about using helicopters to clear the freeways and save us from an attack by a terrorist. Can I come back and discuss this?
Please, come back.
What about singing the national anthem in Spanish and reaching out to our Spanish friends at the basketball and the baseball?
Gallagher comes back. And you can come back and see Gallagher at the House of Blues in Anaheim Tuesday night, Gallagher.
And can I just give this little tip? If you're starting to go, you've been out all day gambling, it's been the hot sun, you maybe had a couple of drinks in the sun, and you're starting to fade a little bit. $5 as you go to the 8 p.m. show of Gallagher at the House of Blues. You're recharged for a big night out to go get laid.
That's right.
What I'm saying. People say it's the best time they ever had. How can you miss that?
I can see that. I'm not kidding. I will not back down on this because I think you are a bit of a freak show. But I will tell you this. I've seen you, and I cracked up from beginning to end.
I'm better now. I didn't get worse.
I'm not as famous, but
I'm better.
You
There's
cracked
room.
Up, too.
Bring some friends.
House of Blues,
and
Anaheim.
I bet I'm cheap.
Tuesday night. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Gallagher, surreal spending time with you. We need to take a break. Ozzy and Ray will be in here not only to review Shrek, but to tell more gross stories from high school. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
The next time I have to come here, I am cracking a skull.
If you said The Breakfast Club...
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
You're correct! Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's been almost 19 hours since I've seen Ozzy. I was standing in my kitchen trying to get my kids to eat yesterday morning, about 10:30 in the morning. My wife was out of town, so I was in charge of feeding the kids. And I made up the stupid porridge, and I tried to feed the kids, two of them at once, by the way. They have this bowl with a division down the middle.
Right.
Gallagher probably invented it 20 years ago. Girls got the pink spoon, boys got the blue spoon, but when you feed the boy, the boy's hands go up in front of his face and he just flails spastically, like, get away from me. And the kids don't have a lot of decorum. When you start pushing something toward their mouth and they don't want it, they don't go, no, thank you. They just whack the spoon and the spoon goes flying and lands on the dog. In the midst of this, Ozzy came by, brought me some pig knuckles.
Ah,
what the
nice.
Hell did you make, Ozzy?
Good morning. Pork.
Pork.
Yeah,
pork. Right. It's, pork is what you are. Pork is what you brought to my
pork.
House.
Yeah.
Pork.
In, you know, in...
Pork.
No. It's in... What is the name? In
pork. Pork is what he brought
by.
It's
the other white meat.
And he got it at the Mexican butcher, so you know it's good. But that's what you want at 9:45 in the morning, a stack of 70 tortillas and a bunch of pig knuckles brought by the house.
Ozzy, how did Adam do it feeding the twins?
Unbelievable. You know, believe, you know, you see Adam... Feed the kid,
Adam.
One celebrity.
Right. Yeah.
Make the father role. You know?
I know what you mean. Very, he's a good dad, even though he's a celebrity.
I almost cry.
Really?
Yeah.
I almost cry when I tasted that pork.
wait, you had no nanny present?
No nanny, no nobody. Oh. Just me to fend for myself and these kids. Crying and running around, not wanting to eat.
I talked to you a few times. It was disturbing.
They're feeding
you were
them,
handling
feeding
it,
them with the bottle, throwing the bottle on the ground. Sonny wouldn't take his porridge, or as Ozzy calls it, his poo. And Natalia drank the bottle, but didn't want the arms. It's funny because kids just do what you wish you could do, except for you can't do it. When somebody says, hey, would you like something you don't want? And you go, no, thank you, but thank you for offering. You'd love just to do this. Ah, blah, blah. You'd love just to throw it. You'd love just to hit them in the arm when they tried to offer it to you, which is what kids do.
I listen, you know, you say, Natalia, it's time for it. Natalia, it's time for it.
She doesn't. You have the dignity to look at me when I'm talking to her. So thank God Ozzy came with his pork knuckles to drop off his 70
you know
tortillas.
What, I know what I liked is that when I was over, Lynette gave me the order of people, by order of who Natalia likes the most. It went Olga first, that's Nanny. Mm-hmm. And then Lynette, their mom, and then you.
Ozzy.
Yeah. No, right. I think,
Ozzy's third. I checked the rankings this morning.
And then it was Molly.
Then Molly, then me. Well, then that we leave a space open.
For somebody.
In case a stranger wants to slide into that slot, and then I'm sixth.
Yeah.
That's right. I dropped down to eighth over the weekend, by the way. All right, Ozzy, you saw what movie with Ray?
Shrek the Clear.
Shrek?
Shrek.
All right. You understand it's a name, Ozzy. It's not open to negotiation or interpretation. It's just Shrek.
Shrek.
All right. Perfect. Pork?
Pork.
The K sound is the problem with both of those words.
Pork.
Pork.
All right. Let's go.
Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
The real question we'll never have answered is what if pork was actually called poor, or what if the name Adam was actually pronounced, I don't know, how would Ozzy do it?
Pork.
and Adam.
Thank you. Yep. Go ahead. He would sound like Tony Randall.
I'm poor.
Okay. Yeah, nice job, buddy. All right, Ozzy. Shrek review, please.
The movie Ray and I saw this weekend is Shrek the Turd. It's a star, the voices.
Shrek the Turd. I want to see that.
The Antonio Banderas.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pussy in Buck.
Hold on. Antonio Banderas is
Puss in Boot.
Boots.
You have to use so many cuss words.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Mike Mayer is Myers. Shrek.
Shrek.
Right. Cameron Diaz is Princess Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Murphy is the donkey.
Yeah. So far, donkey and Diaz seem to be right in your power alley, buddy.
Shrek
is still a problem.
It's my language. All right. Shrek the Turd is the animation film of fantasy and fiction for the small people in all families and people who won't forget the magic for the child time.
Exactly.
You know what? I could not have said that better myself.
You know, when they do those quotes, the critic quotes, like 4 stars or yeah. 2 thumbs up, yeah. I think that one's going to be right still underneath it. That's right.
Better than the Bowl of Menudo.
All right, so Ozzy, did you see the first? You have kids.
Yep.
You have like 36 kids. How many did you see those?
I saw the 1, 2, and now the 3.
Now the 3rd, all right.
It is a situation for the defender of one kingdom called Far, Far Away.
Mm-hmm.
And one ogre transformed into the king, and one behind try to become the king.
I think he's saying villain, not BM.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Because if a BM tried to be king, never really be pushing as far as getting the G rating. Mm-hmm.
All the princes help Fiona defend the kingdom and the all far, far away
mm-hmm.
to make sure the bad guy not live in happily ever after.
Mm-hmm. Now imagine building a house with Ozzy and trying to do it over the phone. As I've done for much of my career.
That can't be good.
No,
I mean, I would love to. I saw a house by my daughter's school. It was like a Moorish castle,
mm-hmm.
but it was falling apart. And my wife has always said, every time we've seen it, we should do that. And we don't know how to do anything. And I don't trust anybody because they're working to make a buck. And Adam is probably the best I know, and he's got his buck. I'd do it with Adam, but I don't think I'd build a house with anybody else and say, let's rehab it and split the profits. I wouldn't do it with anybody but Corona.
Well,
no
thank
way.
You, but if
well,
I...
Well, with Adam comes Ozzy,
but
so.
That's Ozzy no, comes but with
if
the deal.
If Adam sent Ozzy, then that's Adam.
Right.
Because Ozzy's his representative.
Who's going to barbecue without Ozzy? All right, Ozzy, what else, sir?
Shrek the Turd is no better than 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, Shrek the Turd left the reviewer cold.
And Ray.
So you're saying Shrek the Turd is no better than number 2?
Nope.
Ironic.
I'm one.
I feel like I don't have to see the movie now.
No. No, such a vivid picture you paint. Ray, you saw the movie as well?
I did.
Now,
I did.
What'd you think?
1 and 2 were far superior. I mean, really? Shrek's, he's actually nice this time. I like it better when he's disgruntled and cynic.
Made $122 million.
I've seen them and I own them. I think they're great.
If you're going to make a movie, and maybe I should be talking to myself because I just made a movie that doesn't fall into either of these categories, but why not just make a slasher movie or a kids movie?
Right.
Yeah.
Seems like...
Kids movies seem to be the answer for sure.
Well, look, no matter how poorly it does at the box office, you're going to sell 1 billion DVDs just to shut the kid up on the long minivan ride. So, Ray, you thought it was good, but not as good as 1 and 2.
Well, 1 and 2 had more adult content and, you know, a lot of double entendre for kids and for adults. And number 3 just kind of sold out.
And now, normally Ozzy brings the recorder along so he can talk to some people after they see the movie. This time you brought it along, right?
I brought it along, and I did my interpretation of Ozzy.
All right. Well, let's hear
tried.
It.
Who had Yanni's performance? My Meyer, a Murphy, come on. Diaz. Who make it more funny?
Eddie Murphy.
Donkey?
As the donkey.
Donkey.
As the donkey.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too.
You too.
Right, you didn't say tigga-da-tigga-da-tigga-da-tigga.
Shrek 3, leave you yold.
Old?
Yold, cold. Cold.
Cold.
Yes.
Cold.
See?
Okay,
no. Thank you.
Okay. Right, how was that impression of you?
It make it very good.
You only ask, you just go, take it.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but...
It's a stall. My
favorite Aussie-ism is the half an a.
Half an inch.
It's not a half inch. It's half an inch.
Is Aussie at your home every single day, would you say?
I'd say he's there more.
Feels like more.
8 days a week.
I think he's there now. I really do.
Half an a.
Half an a. Yeah, he's there about 12 hours out of the day. Easy. That's right.
How many years, the two of you?
Around 17.
17 years, maybe. Ray met Ozzy. When did you meet Ozzy, Ray?
20 years ago,
you guys got into an argument over you owing him money and him having a ladder?
It's later.
Yeah, we got an argument about, what, later. 10 years ago?
I working, almost 10 years, and him like a lot of money.
Well, when did you dump Ozzy off on me?
As soon as I could.
All right.
But arguably,
about
Ozzy,
10 years ago.
Ozzy is closer to you than a sibling.
1990, I think so.
Well, you think about life, and you think about the list of your favorite people in life, and then you think about a list of people you see most frequently in life, and the order can be very jumbled.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Ozzy, take that in the spirit in which it's intended, but... Unfortunately,
there's no chance he understood what you said.
All right, all I'm saying
is correlation between how much you like and how much you see.
You may have some of your favorite people on the planet who don't live on this coast,
right?
Who you see every 19 and a half months, whereas Ozzy, I enjoy. Don't get me wrong, but I see more of Ozzy than I see of my wife, than I see of people I work with, than I see of anybody.
I don't see any more of my mother when I lived in New York than now, and she lives in North Hollywood.
My parents are alive. They both live within 5 miles of my house, and I see Ozzy 350 times as much, and I'd like to be up around 500, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Ozzy, good people, and always bringing over inappropriate food. Like I said, pork knuckles Sunday morning, about 9:45, and a stack of 7,000 tortillas.
And salad.
Oh, and he brought over the salad, too. He brought over the cabbage as well. Nice job, buddy. Ray?
What's happening, guys?
I love Ray.
I love Ray, too.
Ray has warmed up to a hot spot in my heart.
Ray is good people, and he will warm your cockles.
Hot cockles.
When you come onto the show, we do tell the old stories of your last time. We're explaining the story when you were at a party. You were with your old girlfriend, who was also our good buddy Chris's girlfriend. Simultaneously, you were caught by our buddy Todd making out with her. Todd was very drunk. Todd said he was going to squeal to our buddy Chris, and that wouldn't have been pretty because Chris is big and drunk and scary as well as Ray. That would have been Clash of the Titans.
Right.
So Todd said, if I can make out with her, then I will not say anything. And then later on, you and Todd ended up getting in a fight where a lot of pottery was broken.
That's true.
Todd bit you in the calf, and you dislocated his shoulder.
And he went to the hospital.
That was later on that night. I remember I wasn't at that party. And the reason I wasn't at that party? I went camping.
You were with Chris's other girlfriend?
With the Wheeze, and I made the proclamation while we were sitting on top of Mount Pinos about 9:30 at night eating pork and beans. I'm sure there's a fight going on, a drunken fight going on as we speak at that party, and when we came back, people went to the hospital, and people had bite marks on their calves. So later on, that story turned into what?
Well, Kat was out of the bag. Chris found out that whole thing.
That you were with his girl.
Right. And so we were kind of copacetic for a week or two, and we were all used to hang out at a bar called Midnight Rendezvous.
Which I hear Bonaducci used to hang out at as well.
Midnight Rendezvous.
On Ventura Boulevard, owned by the guy who owns Sushi on Sunset,
No, it was called...
Hana Sushi.
Was it called Midnight Rendezvous? I used to work there. I didn't hang out there. I worked there.
Right.
In what capacity?
I was the manager of Sushi on Sunset. They also owned Cafe Sushi on Beverly and Midnight Rendezvous in that shopping center. So I would just drop by and make sure everything was okay.
Yeah, people used
everything
to say...
Everything wasn't okay, that's for sure.
No kidding, dude, but I was wasted. I barely spoke English, and my entire job was to speak Japanese. That was my whole job there.
That would be a tough one.
So what happened, Ray?
So we used to hang out there quite frequently, and we used to cop drugs out of there. And so Chris and I
wonder how that happened.
And my ex, we all decided to score, and we did, and we headed over to my ex's apartment all together.
Mm-hmm.
And
what drugs? Coke?
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
I believe a place Bonaducci managed was also dealing drugs.
Actually, I think he might have copped it from him
back in the 80s. Unbelievable. Keep going.
So anyway, my boxing bag right now.
So anyway, Chris and my girl wind up going ahead of us, and there was I was with, I think, Zam at the time, and they were in her apartment. Door was locked. I go knock on the door. They won't let me in.
They're ahead of you. They're doing the drugs.
Right. Mm-hmm. I walk around. I take a gander in the through the window, and I see them standing there talking together, and I start knocking on the window, and I hear Chris, "Hey, let him in. He's going to just break in."
Right.
Let him in. No. That whole thing, you know.
They should have done the math, by the way, Ray, on the time that you got in an argument with the guy behind the counter at the liquor store. So he hit you with a baseball bat, and then you walked in front of his liquor store and punched your hand through the half-inch plate glass liquor store window.
And went to court for it.
They should have known, by the way, at that point that you'd probably get into the apartment.
When you hit a guy with a bat and all he does is not give in to gravity, you should know I'm in for a bad night.
It actually didn't hurt that bad. I wasn't hurt at all.
I got my ocular cavity broken with a bat one. My eye kind of popped out of my face. That one really. I have my whole this cheek is Teflon.
Got to stay away from that liquor store.
No, it was this chick's dad.
It was a simpler time. You'd get in an argument with a guy who worked at a liquor store. He hit you with a bat while you're stood at the counter.
Did your guy swing his bat or pop you with the bat?
No, swung it.
Downstroke,
right on the shoulder.
My guy knocked on the door, opened the door, and the guy's got over his shoulder like a rifle butt and just goes bang and busted this cheek, and my eye just popped out of my head.
Good breakfast time.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Now, are they not letting you in because they're trying to do all the drugs without you?
Well, yeah, and there was, a little conflict between Chris and I over this girl. And to this day, actually.
There's no conflict with my friend Ray with anyone anymore.
So anyway, I go to the front door, and I suss it up, and I see the door, I see a sliding glass window, and I see a smaller window, and I'm figuring out which one to break. So I decide to go for the smaller window. I kick it in. I get a little few cuts, that kind of stuff. I walk into the bedroom. There stands Chris and our girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts screaming and yelling and crying. Chris goes, "Hey, get out of here. Da 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 da. The cops are coming." She calls the police, that kind of thing. There's a big stash of cocaine sitting on a mirror inside the closet. Her and I are arguing, screaming and yelling, that kind of stuff. Boom, cops come. She accuses me of
hitting
her.
Ray, you waited for the cops to show up.
I hung out a little bit, yeah.
She said, "I'm calling the cops," and you said, "Fine, I'll wait till they get here," when you should have split at that point.
Uh-oh.
But you waited for the cops.
Hindsight's 20/20. All right.
We don't have a rear view mirror. We'll keep moving forward.
So the cops ask me if I hit her, and she goes, "Look, I have a black eye." I go, no. That's genetic. It runs in her family. Cop starts laughing, looks in the closet, sees the cocaine, closes the door, doesn't even, no mention of it, nothing at all. They arrest me.
You waited for the cops to show up.
I had to. I had no choice.
All right, so you get arrested.
I get arrested, get out 2 days later. Chris gives me a call. "Hey, what's going on? I just got out. You know what's going on with me. Where are you? Take a guess." So anyway, needless to say, she shared her soft plug with him. And I was on the app.
What?
She soft plug, you know what that is.
I don't.
All right, Ray, that's enough euphemisms for lady parts.
She gave it up to my buddy.
I
was on the outside.
Listen, let me explain something. The girl that you're having sex with, who is one of your best friends, longtime girlfriends, is not cheating on you when she has sex with the guy she's been with for 3 years before she started having sex with you. You understand how that works?
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It is a weird thing, though. There is that point where you're the guy who's stealing the girl, but at a certain point, the guy she's married to, if she has sex with him, she's two-timing you.
In a way, absolutely.
I gotta know about this girl.
It was confusing times.
But, Ray, I need to know about this girl because you're a very handsome guy, and so's Chris.
She was beautiful.
Hot
really
blonde.
Beautiful.
See, I think it takes time to get to know how handsome, because it's not just that he's handsome.
I tend to grow on you.
Yeah, he does. He tends to grow on you. And he showed up, and Ozzy was there too, by the way, showed up all the way out at the, was it the Pechanga or the Morongo? where you guys showed up.
It was out in the desert.
But I remember there was a minor incident that I could have hung. I had my shirt off already. It was being weird and wild and Danny-ish.
Yeah.
And there was a minor incident with some guy that said something. And before I could tell him that I was going to straighten him out in a big-ass hurry, Ray was between us explaining to this guy he was going to straighten him out in a big-ass hurry. And I went... That's the way to my heart, dude. I couldn't believe it.
Mine too.
Ray, how did you?
He was all badass. It was cool.
How'd you get a lawsuit with the guy whose liquor store window you punched out when you fled after you punched out the window?
And also, he hit you with a bat.
Well, yeah, he hit me with the bat first. I busted his window. We run. You were there, weren't you?
I know, but I was at my apartment when you guys showed up.
Oh, that's right.
Thank God Don has a piece of the glass you punched out, which is a half-inch thick tempered
glass.
Well,
one of us got caught and turned us all in.
Ah, well, it wasn't me.
It was Sorensen.
All right.
Naming names.
Yeah.
Who?
We need to take ourselves a break. Ray, thank you for the second part of that very moving story.
Very moving.
And Ozzy.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Thank you.
I'd like to try more of your food, though, Ozzy. I really haven't had much of that.
I'll bring over those pig knuckles.
I don't know if I'm a big fan, but I love pork. Yep. If you do something with pork, I'd love to try it.
Yeah, but I need next time.
Thanks, man.
What doesn't he do with pork is really the question. What are those things? Baby ribs? What do you get? What'd you get me?
Baby ribs.
All right. I'll bring those in tomorrow along with the 750,000 tortillas he dropped off at my house.
Fresh
tortillas. We need to take a break. Music Monday, life lessons for the kids. Either things you do want them to do or don't want them to do, or inspirational music you'd like to pass along. But
this took
music.
Me a second. This is the clearest one I understand.
Music with a lesson that one day, when my kids are a little bit older, I will sit down with them. I will play them the song. I will say, listen to the words in the song and let it move you. We'll take a quick break. Music Monday next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's another Music Monday. This time around, Adam, Danny, and Teresa have some songs that they'd play for their kids to teach them lessons about life. Music Monday is brought to you by Salsa Hornitos Tequila. Join in the fun. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, where did we come up with a great idea? Like... lessons in life for Music Monday. Normally, our Music Monday themes are lame. How did we pull this one out of our ass? Well, I'll tell you how.
I enjoyed this.
It was submitted by Rick from Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Listener.
Really?
Listener Rick, I'm guessing. Guessing he's listening on the internet.
Podcast.
I got a question then.
Hmm.
Are we two being the Great American Junior Show? And I am not just making fun of your billboards because I am so overinflated ego-wise, and therefore she won an Emmy, so we're the smart show.
Mm-hmm.
Are we above taking great ideas for bits from listeners that write in and say, how about if you guys tried this? I think we should do that.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, if you guys write something that's really funny, I know I personally would be willing to give it a try.
I will as well. And if you go to adamcarolla.com, you put in your 2 cents. For sure, at least a Music Monday. We'll just take your good ideas.
Yeah, and if you do MySpace / Bonaducci, I will have sex with you.
No, right.
The wife's kicking me out. What
that's
can I do?
A good idea.
Yeah. That'd be a great bit. Hey, is it not going to be the height of the bachelor party with a transsexual? Don't tell me sex is not a good bit.
Bonaducci will have sex with someone that used to be a Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bonaducci. I like that.
Yeah. That joke, I just got off the internet, by the way. Somebody very quickly went to AdamCarolla.com and filled that in.
I'm so glad I'm not fighting for custody. Can you imagine how bad I would lose? Well, what'd your husband do last night? Well, he had sex with a transsexual, Your Honor, in a public place. I think you get all the kids.
We have your suggestions for Music Monday already popping up at 866-901-ADAM. We'll start with ours. Again, this is lessons for your kids. I don't know how to interpret this exactly. I jumped around a little bit, but I will play these songs for my kids when they get old enough, and I will tell them to listen and learn. Number one, a song that went to number one way back in 1969. Jerry Butler.
First love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. My mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words.
Back when people
song.
Used to talk for the first 20 minutes of a song.
Boy, I see
sitting out there all alone.
Mama gave me some advice.
Crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Listen to me, get up off your knees,
'cause
only the strong survive.
Only the strong survive.
Only the strong
get up
survive.
Off your knees, boy.
Only the strong survive.
Seriously, get off your knees. By the way, could you tell that buddy to go ahead and sit down?
No, I'm with you. Very nice.
Yeah. Only the very strong nice. Survive. That's right. The deal is the guy got dumped by his old lady. He was going to just go into a fetal position and drink himself into oblivion, but Mama had these words for him.
Mama, she said,
only the strong. Danny, I know you're not much of a singer, but I do feel like every song that uses Mama said, that could be your game.
Do it one more time. The Mama said thing. Just waiting.
Then she said,
only
the strong.
Only
the strong survive. Yeah, all right.
You'd want little Sonny to know this about life.
Gotta be a man, gotta take a stand. All right, let's go to my next lesson in life for the youngins. This one a little more on the touchy-feely side.
I did some of that.
I just love this song, number one, Elvis Costello. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding, son? Such a good song. As I look down at my cheat sheet here, I see this one is from 1979. And then it says next to it, didn't chart. Did right. not chart.
Huh.
Now, if you go find Maneater... and you look at the little note next to Maneater from Hall and S, it will say number one
as well
in 1983. And isn't that all we need to know about our society, everybody? This song, this horrible, horrible abortion of a flaming pile of donkey flop of a song.
So what's the lesson to your kid?
Number one. Move to Canada.
Yeah.
Because Elvis Costello's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding does not chart. That means it didn't make the top 100, and this flaming turd, number one.
Your kids should know we don't live in a merit-based society.
No, we don't. Otherwise, you'd be making more money. All right, so What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding? My number two lesson song to the kiddies' tea.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Okay, I gave this a lot of thought. And, okay, in my culture and maybe also in my family, achievement is really stressed. And so I thought about what I would want to teach my kids and how I would want them to be happy. And I realized that if achievement is the only way to be happy, then you're only happy when you're winning or getting or doing or being.
Mm-hmm.
I would want my kids to be able to appreciate and delight in the simple things in everyday life. And that's why I picked this song from Louis Armstrong.
Ooh.
This song's come up in almost every one of my choices and I chickened out.
I see trees.
It's a beautiful song.
This song has had
song.
Such a renaissance.
Yep.
I mean, this song's got to be 50 years old,
you
right?
No, it came out in 67, and this is interesting. When it came out in 67, it sold less than 1,000 copies in the United States. Then it was in a few movies, and it was reborn.
It's such a great song.
Oh, and you know what else? You know what All in the Family, which is a show I loved?
Mm-hmm.
Meathead didn't want to bring kids into the world, and then he heard this song, and he changed his mind, and he and Gloria decided to have a kid.
Wow. All in the Family, Shields and Yarnell. Really dipping back into the 70s.
It's these type of hip references that make us the morning show we are.
That's right. Yes. Number four and number 126, English speaking. Thank you. That's in Los Angeles, of course.
This is an optimistic and hopeful song.
Great song, yes. A pedestrian but good, solid choice.
Thank you.
Wasn't exactly a compliment. Danny!
What is so funny about peace?
I have to build up to mine, and I won't do it on the first one. It's just kind of on the nose, something you'd want your kids to know.
But I had a specific thing I want my kids to know first. And since we're going bad to first, this is not my Here's What You Have to Know song to my children. But it's a song I think is a good message and fine to learn. It's Imagine, John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
I considered this one.
I actually didn't.
Did someone consider this for you?
No, I...
MySpace?
No, because I do these on my own now, because I decided that's cheating, because what happens is I forgot I have 20,000 friends, they all know what we're doing if I ask.
Mm-hmm.
So I do them on my own.
Uh-huh.
But this one hit home with me immediately, and I could only find, and I didn't know the actual song name of the attitude I wanted to portray as the big one, so I thought we should start with... You know what? Imagine a world that's perfect. Imagine a world that's nice. That's something you should impart to your children. Mm-hmm. So I went with John Lennon, and Imagine it charted. Went number one in 1971, and that is it. The second one is Good Advice, and the third one's the one I mean business with.
Well, that's what I like about it, because we have the ones that say, be a man and stand up and be strong and don't take any crap, and the other ones that say, turn the other cheek and be a good neighbor. And it's all things you want your kid to embody.
Right, exactly.
Here's one I'd like... my kids, especially my son, to take notice of. Band called Chase, going back to 1971. I really just wanted to hear this song again. No, he doesn't say anything in this song. It's called Get It On. You want your kids to get it on eventually.
So do you eventually.
Hopefully not with each other.
Is this for your daughter too?
Yeah, why not?
Progressive man, growing up.
Yeah.
I wonder why people got laid in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's all the songs were on the radio.
Horn is right in the word horny.
Put the horn in horny.
Get it on, get it on, get it on, get it on. And every once in a while, he throws you a curve by saying, get it on in the morning. And later on, he wants you to get on in the evening. And then I think there's a brunch one where you guys have to.
I like this cycle because I want my kids to have inner peace. You want them to promote outer peace, and you want them to get it on.
Get it on in the morning
I
now.
I do not want my kids to promote outer peace. I wanted to play Imagine and get it the hell out of the way. That is not my innermost feeling for my children.
Wait a minute. Here comes a important message here. Get it on. The idea.
Yeah,
we're pretty clear.
So I'll get it on. I'd love to see the lyric page just handed to the guys in the band. Let's see. What do we got here, Phil? Get it on in the morning. Get it on. Get it on. Get it on. Someone burnt the midnight oil last night. Get it on. Get it on.
Song entirely.
Get it on, get it on, get it on.
Bang the gong.
Get on,
no,
bang on, get on in the morning. Get on, get on, get on. All right. So let me get this straight, Phil. You spent how many hours on this? And I'm supposed to do what with it? See, what would the song be called? Get It On,
well,
perhaps?
There was another, there's the B-side called Bone Like Monkeys, but nobody really liked that one.
Get It On, everybody. So you want them to, you know, think about peace, love, and understanding, and be strong and all that. And imagine.
Right. Appreciate the simple things.
Appreciate, but I also want them to get it on in the morning.
Right, no, absolutely.
We'll take a quick break. Lessons for our children on a Music Monday. Listener request, Rick.
From on, Rick.
The very attractively named Spotsylvania. Virginia. Music Monday. We'll be back with our number one songs and yours next.
More Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, brought to you by Sousa Hornitos Tequila. More songs that teach your children life lessons. With Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we's back. We'll get to your suggestions as well as soon as we finish ours. T.
Yes. All right. Well, Danny, you have kids, and Adam, you have kids. And as you guys know, I'd like to have kids.
It's ironic. There's three people in this room.
Only one of which has a vagina.
And one wants kids.
Yeah.
The other two are lukewarm.
Yeah.
And we have kids. Thanks. Ever think about that, T?
I think about it a lot. I take it very seriously.
You know, if you wonder when you stay up all night and watch American Idol and we don't get to it, and I just come rolling in here around 5:59 and 9 seconds and you don't get to it and with right. kids and stuff.
Right.
Just think life's not fair.
No, I'm very grateful. I have a very good life and I'm lucky. Good job. Now, but I do over prepare for everything, as you well know. And
yes,
so I gave this a lot of thought and I take it very seriously because motherhood is a very important thing and I hope to achieve that someday. And so I wanted to be realistic.
Would you like to steal my girl, by the way?
Can I just have
the
girl?
She's a royal pain in the ass.
She's so cute.
I know. You take care of her on a Sunday afternoon.
I will take her. She does have that. She has that new baby smell. She's so cute.
Never stops moving and talking and clawing and pawing and yapping and can't cuddle. I said to my wife, aren't these kids...
The boy cuddles.
Yes, but I'm holding the girl last night. We're trying to watch The Sopranos. I said, can't she just fall asleep in my arms? I thought that's what babies do. Oh, no. And then my wife always does this one. That thing I can't question her on because I didn't read Red Book or Parenting Weekly or whatever.
Or what to expect when
you're expecting. I said, this girl's hyper. This girl's all over the place. She's too tired. She's so tired she can't stop jumping up and down on daddy's testicles.
Yeah. Babies get fussy when they're tired.
You know what I do when I'm too tired?
Nap.
Yes, it's called sleep. No, she's too tired. So if she was less tired, she would slow down?
It is counterintuitive. You think tired means nap.
Oh, I just want to cuddle. Just fall asleep. Let me hold you.
Well, I will take the girl.
All right.
But if I had my own girl, I would, and like I said, I thought about this a lot, and I would want to... them to get to receive a lesson in a language that they could understand. I'd want them to really be able to understand what I'm saying to them. Meow, 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 meow.
The Meow Mix theme song?
Being realistic.
You're gonna have a cat.
I've got Finster and Barkley.
Finster and Barkley.
I've got Finster and Barkley right now. They love me. They're my babies.
And they'll have 25 or 6 brothers and sisters before the decade is out.
This is cute, though. Listen, Finster and Barkley, my little babies, if you're listening, mommy loves you.
Listen, I was trapped inside my gilded cage yesterday. I couldn't leave. Cat, you get to leave.
Yeah, and they're indoor, outdoor. I come and go, they come and go.
Oh, the beauty of having a cat is like, you have a dog, or worse, a kid, you go out of town, you got to do something with them.
Right.
Cat's like, oh, what do? Well, you just leave a 4-foot-high pile of food and 70 gallons of water, and you can go to Europe for the summer.
Yep.
Something
As a matter of fact, they're happy when you leave.
Yeah.
You know, cats are the only pets that are actually glad when their owners leave town. Like,
my
dog. Thank Christ.
I actually got in a fight with my wife the other day. I said, what can I do to, you know, make up to the family? Let's do something family. Who should we do it as a family, or me and Isabella, or me and Dante, or the group of us? Who misses me the most? And she said, Dukes. That's my dog.
Yeah, the German Shepherd.
How about the humans that might miss Daddy? Anybody there? Gosh, you'd be a little nasty sometimes.
Yeah, I did that with my wife, and she said she mentioned a potted plant missed me the most.
Aww.
So it's important to say what human misses you the most.
But you had to take care of both babies. Didn't that give you new appreciation for what your wife does every day?
I started to think about it,
and
then I realized, slippery slope, let's not go down that road, Carolla.
Pretty soon, empathy.
Pretty soon, she'd be equal, and then where would we
that.
Be?
No,
yeah.
You cannot have that, but you can't have that. I will tell you the answer to all of that inequality. One income family, especially if the man's making a really good income.
Mm-hmm.
I should have that problem.
You're king.
That's all there is to it. They can badger you. They can want you to do stuff. They can say, take out the garbage. You never put away your clothes. They can do anything they want until you don't feel like it. And the second you don't feel like it and you're the king of all the money, food goes in your mouth because I say so. You're the god.
Danny should write a book on how to create a long and loving relationship.
Yeah, partnership, a true partnership.
I'll see you in 17 years.
Where I can buy and sell you.
I'll see you in 17 years.
Oh, take out the trash, I own you.
All right.
I told my mom once when she grounded me when I was 13, we moved out, and she said, you go to your room right now. And I looked at her and I said, they're all my rooms.
Yeah, you paid for that house. All right, so T, you got the Meow Mix theme song. Bonaducci, what is your number two song?
My number two song is close to as good as number three. I'm really having a good time with this one because the advice is so good in it, I think, all the way through. You want to hit it? It is Cheap Trick, Surrender.
Mm.
Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right. Relax. Well, we were kids once. Mm-hmm. And we know when you get a rash, you'll never know what you'll catch.
They just seem a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, we just seem a little weird, but you'll never know what you'll catch.
Mother told me, yes, she told me.
It's like Cheap Trick.
So I used to hang out with him.
Yeah?
She also told me, stay away.
You'll never know what you'll catch. By the way, in these days, whatever you did catch, you could call it one shot in the ass and it was gone.
One shot in the ass and you're gone.
Right.
Well put.
So tough. Here we go.
Mommy's all right. Daddy's all right. They just seem a little weird.
The thing that was always cool about Cheap Trick is they were a rock band that was also a new wave band. Right. That was also sort of a punk band. So they had this great mixture of kind of 80s new wave meets 70s rock. Always dug them.
So I.
And a sense of humor.
And Nick Gilder, Hot Child in the City, was a great song.
Yeah.
I don't know what made me think about it just because it was the same era.
All right. We need to move ahead to my number two song. Now, why is this my number two song? Well, as I've said before.
Dance.
No, Boston.
It was a city name. Yeah. A state name.
I was in my garage of my crappy apartment in North Hollywood somewhere in the mid-80s going over my life. And I heard this guy interviewed. I don't know if it's the guy who killed himself or another guy from Boston. And the DJ asked him, what's this song about? And he said it. I was working for an insurance company, and I was making a good living, but I had to put it aside, and I had to go chase my dreams of rock and roll. And everyone told him not to do it because he had a good, steady gig. And
I told him not to do it.
And he had peace of mind. And everyone said, don't do it.
I said, don't do it.
He wanted to get out of the rat race, and he wanted peace of mind. He wanted to do his thing. And I thought to myself, yes, yes. Do comedy. Forget about this crappy construction. And it inspired me.
So, and it was.
He's talking about climbing the company ladder here. Come a day when you'll be gone.
By the way, there will.
Decision. So he just wants his peace of mind. He wants to go do his own thing. He wants to play whatever your version of that is. I will say to my kids, keep your gig. You're not that talented.
So what?
These guys come around once in a lifetime.
I always say I was struck by lightning. The waiter at the corner is funnier than I am. I just got struck by lightning and he didn't.
Daddy's the exception, not the rule. Now back to the salt mine. Mock show. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do all our number one songs. Lessons to your kids. I'll give you a hint. Mine's one of my favorite songs. You'll know it. It'll send a very important message to my kiddies. Also, we'll hear yours next on Music Monday.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sheridan, Wyoming.
was visited by animal control officers after neighbors complained that she was keeping a goat in her minivan. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, it's Music Monday, and as suggested at AdamCarolla.com, Rick suggested that we do music to educate your children. Thank you. Music to educate your children by Life Lesson Songs. Let's go to the phones and see what you have to say before we get to our number ones. Kaleo?
Yeah, Kaleo.
Kaleo?
Kaleo.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's K-A...
L-E-O.
Right. And Leo is spelled how?
Leo?
Is spelled...
L-E-O.
Right. So you put a K and an A in front of Leo.
And it's Kaleo.
I'm angry.
I can't
this
believe
is why I'm tired of everyone. With, I'm tired of everyone and their crappy names. I
can't believe you cared that much.
His name's L-E-O. That's Leo.
You have to predict that a reasonable man will say Kaleo.
Every human being who reads that because it is namely Leo is going to say Leo, and then you're going to go through your life correcting every human being you meet.
Then you go ahead and you predict that every human being that calls here is going to be a reasonable human being.
Does everyone pronounce your name Kaleo?
No, I get Kaleo or Kaleo or I get all kinds of stuff.
It's a nice name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Well, anyway, Kaleo... what is your suggestion?
Well, my suggestion is Eyes of the World by the Grateful Dead.
Mm.
Do you have hippie parents?
No, I don't, actually. Quite the opposite.
Ah, you showed them.
I sure did.
Cleaning pools for a living, Kaleo?
No, not at all.
Aquariums? Blues? Kaleo, how much pot do you smoke?
A little bit here and there.
I see, like you're high right now?
Yeah.
Possibly, yes.
Possibly. You got the pot smokers laugh, my brother. Now, are you going to work today?
Yes, I am.
Where are you going to work?
I'm going to brush some wax on some iron at a client's house.
Nice. Yeah, that's what they call a handy these days.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm not up on the gay lingo.
The gay lingo.
Bill's giving me a thumbs up.
Yep.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, you're doing, putting a little wax on there, and does he have a little wrought iron work on the outside of the house?
Wrought iron on top of a white wall. I got to whitewash the wall when I'm done with the iron.
Good times, right?
Yeah, good times.
Hey, Kaleo.
Yeah.
You are this close to being a drifter. You understand? When you show up to people's houses and do a little this and a little that.
Uh-huh.
That's what a drifter is.
Yeah.
High at 9:23.
Well, I'm cool with that.
All right, buddy. Look,
you're a judge.
I do a handful of other things. This is not my only occupation.
Okay. All right.
Contractor of sorts.
Okay. Listen, God bless you, Kaleo.
God bless you, Adam.
And we'll see you soon.
Hmm. I saw the Family Man last night, and you were Death.
Family Man.
The voice of Death.
Family Guy.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, thank you, Kaleo.
I watched it with my family.
I enjoyed the show, and it was nice just to hear your voice.
Thanks, Kaleo. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I love the show.
Good times there, brother.
We appreciate that.
Look, if you're just going to go to some guy's house and put wax on his wrought iron, you may as well be baked.
Nice to talk to you.
Stuff hurts more when you're not.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you want to come over to my house a little later and throw a little wax on my wrought iron?
Thumbs up.
See? Mm. It's just code.
That's code, too.
Now, Bill, are you wax on or are you wax off?
A little bit of wax on, a little bit of wax off.
Good times.
Now, Bill plays the full gamut. Bill and I are pals.
I am never going to get tired
Bill and
of
I
this.
Go, Bill and I go out and break up couples.
Hey.
Now that I'm single, he moves in on the guy that's not quite sure, and then when the girl gets all, like, flipped out that her boyfriend's flirting with Bill, then I take her. That's our new thing.
Double teamed by Bill and Bonaducci.
And by the way, I dress so much more gay than Bill.
It's true.
So much more gay.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah, Bill in a flannel plaid shirt today.
Do you know what I wear? Oh, this is nothing. I'm talking about when we're going to Rage or Manhole or FUBAR.
Right.
I wear mesh.
FUBAR.
FUBAR.
It's in West
it
LA.
It stands for effed up beyond all recognition.
We know that.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
All right, CJ?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
From Las Vegas. What's happening, CJ? You have a song for our Music Monday?
Yeah, I do. I just want to say, first of all, man, I'm a huge fan of you, Teresa, Danny.
Love Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, this song, one of my favorite songs, a little bit of Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very, really good advice.
Yeah, I thought about this
one. Me too.
I don't know what happened to it. I thought about it on a Friday, and it didn't make it to Monday.
I discarded it because I wasn't sure it was good advice.
You know what happened to me? It is good advice. You can't always get what you want.
But is that what
you get what you need? Yeah, because you get by. But yeah. The reason it didn't make my list is because a chick said it to me.
CJ, why did it make your list?
Well, it made my list on Wednesday night. We had this little karaoke thing at this bar we go to, and after about 8 shots of Jaeger, I kind of humbled up there and scribbled it down.
Thank you, CJ. We appreciate you thinking that far ahead. All right. Again, if you have any suggestions, we'll go to adamcarolla.com, write them down. Maybe we'll use it for the next Music Monday. All right, T, your number one song.
Yes, this is a Shaker spiritual from 1848. My mom used to sing it to me, and I think it's the most comforting song ever. This version is...
Shakers were sort of like Quakers?
Yes, yeah. They made furniture.
One quaked and made a good cereal, and one shook and didn't do much.
It was a religious denomination. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, my mom used to sing it to me, and I think it's the most comforting song ever written. This version is the great cellist Yo-Yo Ma and singer Alison Krauss.
Finally.
Laugh all you want, you heartless bastards.
And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight.
Don't cry! Pull it back!
So what's the message?
Where
kill yourself?
Simplicity is gained. To bow
it's about
to
being humble and
being simple.
Simple and...
All right. A humble song.
Yeah.
Danny, do you have the same song?
Yeah, it's
we're having a ball out here.
This is it. Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to use your own mom.
What do you got?
Now, I picked this song because I knew the title and the singer. But it was the attitude. I wanted another song, and I couldn't really find it, so this one had to do.
Good radio.
Well, no, it is. This one will do
it's
totally
not
and
than
completely.
Yo-Yo Ma, is it?
I could not find a song that said the words, "Be fully prepared to kill a man before he kills you." So I picked Dog Eat Dog, Ted Nugent. Because it's a bad friggin' world and you better be ready.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to fly in the face of Imagine, your other song.
You gotta have ranges of parents.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm telling you from the way I live my life, if I hadn't been fully prepared, jump right now. Don't wait. Don't let him look at you again. Don't let him finish your sentence. Step outside. Nobody's ever finished that sentence to me.
Somebody said,
hey, you want to stut? And they're picking him up off the street.
So doggy dog.
Doggy dog. My kids need to know. You know there's that little drop of me that we played that was, you think I was kidding when I said, you got to be prepared to walk to the top over the lifeless bodies of your friends? Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at life. And I didn't want my boys to know and my boy and my girl to know if it's what it takes, it's what it takes. And then you can imagine from a high peak, from the zenith, what it'd be like if imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try with John Lennon. But John Lennon got his ass shot next to Yoko Ono. I ain't playing. This was my real advice. This was the most important advice I wanted to give to my children.
Doggy dog. All right. Well, I have one that's along the same lines.
Good.
But I'm not even going to wait for them to become an adult with my number one song.
Eat Other Children.
Oh, little gal by the name of Pat Benatar.
All right.
Any excuse to play Hell is for Children.
Nice.
Just a little something I'll play if they're thinking about getting out of line the next time Mommy leaves town.
Ah.
I'll tell Grandma you fell off the swing, and I want to know where you got that shiner.
They cry in the dark, so you can't see their teeth.
Nice.
They hide the light, so you can't see
I have no idea
teeth.
What this message is, but
that was for children, that's good.
Forget all the
that's right. This is when we used to sing about issues, kids.
Love and pain become one in the same in the eyes of a wounded
Why?
Child. Because hell
track.
No. I just wanted to hear that song.
Now, if you've ever seen me do this song, the karaoke version of it, this is where the Elvis-esque karate kicks start flying.
There it goes.
And the sweat.
Okay.
The beer-fueled sweat comes flying from my head. Now, at this point, I'm running in place. Now I'm doing karate kicks. I've just taken a swig off a stranger's beer. And I'm going into the Pete Townsend tomahawk arm swing, the windmill.
Nice. The windmill at that point. If anyone's seen me do this one,
yeah, it also attracts the children.
All right,
just for children.
Take ourselves a little break.
Yeah,
the news and religious nut job Shirley Phelps making the pilgrimage to picket Jerry Falwell's funeral. We'll talk to her. We'll hear the news next.
He's single again, and Adam Carolla is throwing in the bachelor party he never had.
Yeah, let's have a bachelor party with chicks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and food.
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood. It's the Danny Bonaducci Bachelor Party.
Dynamite!
We'll have strippers.
I want women.
Booze.
Great.
A lot more strippers.
I want them. How much?
And probably a lot more booze, too.
All the things that make life worth living for.
Starts at 7 and ends whenever the cops show up.
The cops!
May 31st at the Key Club in Hollywood.
That would be out of sight, dude.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Shirley Phelps is on hold. She's the one that protests every funeral. It's not okay to die without checking with Shirley first. She'll come after your ass.
Right.
We'll talk to her in a second. She's on her way to Jerry Falwell's funeral to protest his funeral. I thought they were on the same team,
yeah.
But evidently not. T?
Yes.
The news first.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
The plumbing industry is at war. They're at war over a song by Tommy Two Tone. Remember 8675309?
Mm-hmm. Jenny? Sure.
Apparently, it's a catchy number for a business.
Mm-hmm.
Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island used to own this number in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, but they kept getting crank calls, so they gave it up, and then a plumbing company took the number.
Mm-hmm.
They trademarked the phone number, and then another plumbing company out of Florida was also touched by this song by Tommy Two Tone, and they got the 800 number version of this song.
Uh-huh.
Then they sued each other, and last week a federal judge in Boston sided with the first company.
How much work can you get out of this? And then what do they do? Do like a jingle like, Jenny, don't snake that main line. I'm gonna sweat some pipe. I'm gonna fit some angle stops. 8675309.
So we all know the number.
All right.
Right.
I think every girl in the world has given out that phone number as their fake phone number. Hey, babe, can I have your phone number? Yeah, it's 8675309.
Well, Tommy Two Tone has weighed in on the situation to the Boston Globe. And by the way, that's not a man, that's a group. Lead singer is Tommy.
His dad, Bobby Three Tone, also commented. He's a senior.
He said, quote,
and his gay cousin, Bobby Both Ways, he was up to date too.
He said, it's ridiculous. If I want to get into it, I could probably take the number away from both of them.
Wow.
Yeah, but he can't bother because he's busy with what I don't know.
Yeah, he's busy playing Laughlin, like Salad Bar in Laughlin.
Now, in the entertainment world...
Don't put down my future, bitch. you know I'm going to end up in
Hey, we're talking
places.
About my future. We're talking about Branson, Missouri earlier.
Sopranos barely
has a
future.
I guy in Laughlin.
Sopranos only has two episodes in its future. Last night, spoiler alert, AJ, Tony's son, became very despondent. And it's not enough to put the plastic bag over his head. He had to take a dip in the family pool with a cement block tied to his ankle. Dad, Tony Soprano, has to save him, and then he has to tell his buddies what happened.
My kid tried to off himself. That's it. Nobody's got nothing to say.
How's he doing, Tom?
They got him under observation. Where did I lose this kid? What did I do wrong?
Oh, come on.
Don't blame yourself, T.
A lot of pressure on kids today, Tom.
Still to try to kill himself?
It happens, Skip.
Happen to your kids?
Nope, it hadn't.
It's funny, in life, there are situations you're in socially where you're trying to talk yourself up. Like somebody says, hey, I just got a new Mercedes. And you go, yeah, I got the Jaguar. It's great. And then there are times when horrible things happen to people and you try to talk yourself down.
Yep.
They're like, my son tried to kill himself. I got an uncle who's gay. You know, it's like you're trying to, it's weird because half your life is trying to talk yourself up into the next bracket. And the other half is when someone tells you they have cancer or something, you go, yeah, I had a family member who had, there's parts where you're trying to get down to theirs.
Right.
Have you ever seen old people compare diseases? Who's sicker?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, my hip went out. Your hip is nothing. I've got osteoporosis. I think I'm going to die any second. They go for, they go forever on that.
Yeah, the other guys try and relate, but one has an anorexic daughter. She didn't try to kill herself, and one son gets the blues.
He gets the blues.
No, good times. The blues.
Even well, cowboys get the blues.
It's true. Cowgirls. In other television news, you know, last week NBC left The Apprentice in limbo. They didn't pick it up, and they didn't cancel it. It was unclear what was going to happen.
This is the number one show of all time, and it does not suck.
Well, Donald Trump's people issued a statement on Friday saying that he is, quote, moving on from The Apprentice to a major new TV venture.
Right, called I Don't Know Yet.
Right.
Called right. This show's gonna get dumped, but instead of getting fired, I quit.
Now, this is an interesting thing for those of you outside this market. I think everybody in here, man, woman, and child, will understand this. He's got something in development and turnaround. Mm-hmm. And what that means is I have nothing.
Right.
You know, if it's in development, it's in your head. And if it's in turnaround, I mean, you said it to somebody and they didn't like it much, but promised they'd think about it.
Those are just bars Bill hangs out at.
Yeah, those are just, they're just places that you're not going to get anything done.
Right.
At the box office over the weekend, Shrek the Third earned $122 million, making it the third biggest opening of all time. And, of course, the week's number one movie. Number two, Spider-Man. Earning $28.5 million, Spider-Man 3, that is.
Also, the biggest opening movie of all time, I don't know if they adjust it, but it's like gas is at its highest price ever. Yes, because a house used to be $9,000. That's why gas is at its highest price ever. And I know they will adjust occasion, but
yes.
As but movies go from $3 to $12, of course it's going to be the biggest ever,
but
right?
They still, when they do adjust it, they usually make adjusting it as part of the story, and then Gone with the Wind usually wins.
Really? Yeah. But I never hear that. I just hear Spider-Man highest ever, whatever highest
right.
ever.
Yeah, that's true. Rounding out the top three, the apocalyptic thriller 28 Weeks Later. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, not much time left, but always enough time to talk to our dear, dear friend, Shirley Phelps. Shirley?
Oh, my throat hurts,
hi.
Man.
Shirley, you're about to make the pilgrimage to Jerry Falwell's funeral.
That's right. We'll leave this afternoon.
To protest the funeral.
Yes. Now we have to make sure that this nation understands what a cowardly sellout Falwell was.
Well, you came to prominence a few years ago when you were protesting at the funerals of our fallen soldiers, but Falwell... I thought he was one of you. I thought you'd be on his team.
He also hates gay people.
He hates gay people. He loves God.
He does not. He loves money. So he's willing to dumb down the scriptures and the words that show you that the law of God is written upon your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to dumb that down, which, by the way, you guys, I love listening to you because
you
always verify and confirm. You sit there a minute ago and you said you try to lower yourself. You try to get down to where they're, and you threw in, I've got a gay uncle. Mm-hmm. You know perfectly well, it's written on your heart, that that's a bad thing. Messing around, sodomites are not anything to be associating with or
actually, to
be
honest with you,
in.
If I may be serious for one moment, my gay uncle is not on my heart. He is on my ass as often as possible, and that's just where I like him.
I hung out with some sodomites for a while, and I'll tell you this. They prefer to be called by the first names. The sodomites, like one guy's named
so
Steve, another
names
was John.
Are all the same,
hun. Sodomites, they found insulting.
Pervert.
So pervert and sodomites. So Shirley, what will you be doing at the funeral? Do you have a chant ready?
We got prime real estate. We worked it out with the police. We get the spot directly across from the front entrance to the entering into that monstrosity that he built once he sold his soul to the devil.
Right. And you'll be chanting what?
We'll be saying, God hates Jerry Falwell. Mm-hmm. If you pander after his dead, rotting carcass, you'll go to hell with him.
Mm. And we'll the cops will be there to protect you from the God-fearing people that want to kill you?
Yeah, exactly. Right. The cops will be there to keep the peace because there is nothing more violent and lawless than a Christian. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
These so-called Christians, they'll kill you and look at you if you don't bow down and worship their idols.
That was my fourth song pick.
So, Shirley, do you have any... What's on the calendar for Shirley Phelps?
Well, we got to do this, and, of course, we got some dead soldiers' funerals later in the week.
So you're keeping up with
that.
Always
got to get to those, yeah.
God, I hate you.
And do you have any signs ready for the funeral?
I have Falwell in Hell, mm-hmm. and then... what does that sign say that's got Falwell's picture? Pro-gay Falwell.
Pro-gay.
And, mm-hmm. yeah, you understand, did you see him talking to Christiana Monpour after he died, and they had that clip of where she just did an interview with him for a documentary, and he's busy, and she says to him, after 9/11 now, you said some things, and what she wanted was for him to say, no, I didn't mean it, and I take it all back.
Mm-hmm.
She says, do you still stand by that? This mm-hmm. is what the coward said.
What about...
This is what he said. He said, now, if I'm saying that if America is going to redefine family, and he said one thing that's kind of innocuous, I can't even remember it now, but then he said, and gay marriage, and I'm not saying they've done that, to which I'm sitting here ready to throw a shoe through the TV, because...
Right.
Hello, 3 years ago, at midnight, on May 17, they had fags.
All right, hold on, Shirley.
How about I go over to this bitch's house and cut her Achilles tendon?
Putting her on hold because she was using the F word, which is not the one, the F-U word, but the F-A word.
It's a derogatory term for gay people.
Yeah. This is a derogatory term for humans, this whore.
All right, hold on. We need to take ourselves a break.
I would like to watch the cancer take effect on her. Cells and watch them die slowly.
We'll be back with more positive thoughts. Thank you. Well, that's it for the show. I want to thank Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, Sunday's HBO Gallagher.
Yeah.
He'll be at the House of Blues. He should be at the House of Nuts.
I liked him. I thought he's crazy fun.
I do.
And like you have mental problems, man.
And Teresa Strasser, everyone, TV water cooler tonight. See,
right. We have an off night, but I will be on CNN Headline News Showbiz tonight.
Watch CNN Headline News and see how beautiful she is through the majesty of TV. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I whacked a guy in Laughlin.